We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Friday morning, back here on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. A gorgeous, gorgeous sun splash day about to come your way the whole weekend. The whole week really has temperatures today by the mid-70s and by mid-next week the low 80s. And a lot of sunshine, folks. Broke out the white linen dress shirt today. I had myself 3 hours in the sun yesterday, so I'm starting to feel that summer vibe. And I would feel it even more based upon what the CD said yesterday, if it wasn't for this a-hole governor. Man, you want to talk about a guy that could ruin a really, really good party? You want to talk about a guy, the CDC, who has gotten everything wrong and basically has made us miserable for the better part of 16 months. They are lockstep with Anthony Fauci. They come out yesterday and say, listen, if you're vaccinated, and Bernard is, and I get my second shot next week, you don't have to wear a mask indoors or outdoors, indoors or outdoors, which, by the way, I stopped wearing a mask indoors 2 months ago. And it all sounds good until the governor opens his big fat mouth and all of a sudden the good news goes away.
Well, it doesn't matter. He doesn't have these executive powers any longer, so we can just ignore him. He's remember, they took away, they stripped him of his power. We just ignore him. People are just going to defy the stupid state. By the way, New York was the first state to implement a mask mandate. They were the first, and now they're dragging their feet to be the last.
We, us.
Right, they. Well, the idiots up in Albany.
Yeah.
But either way, we're just going to ignore it. That's what we're going to do. We know now. And by the way, also, yesterday's CDC and Biden's announcement, Walensky, this incompetent buffoon, and the imbecile-in-chief, there's no new science whatsoever.
None.
No new science. They just caved to reality is
right.
What they caved to. Plus, maybe the timing is, well, the news was getting bad for them on a lot of fronts with
right.
The pipeline, the gas lines, the inflation, the border, all this stuff. It was like, it's time. It's like Governor Cuomo. Every time a new accuser came out, let's open up a little bit more. And well, that's what they did yesterday,
yeah,
I believe.
There are two things when you talk about the science. You're 100% right, Bernard. There was no new science that all of a sudden the CDC came out and said, let's do this. Now, on the other hand, Andrew Cuomo. There is no science, no science for him to come out and say, we're not ready yet. It is over here. So you had one side give us the news we want based upon no science. One side gave us news we didn't want based upon no science. It's very, very clear that all the people making these decisions do not go by the science.
No, they absolutely do not. In fact, I mentioned Walensky. She was the one two weeks ago, she said she's not going to let her kids go to camps without masks.
Idiot.
That's what she said. And now yesterday she comes out all of a sudden, again, no new science. What was the epiphany? What turned you around, lady? What was it? They don't explain it, of course. And that's why, as we talked to Dr. Nicole Sapphire about yesterday, nobody trusts the government health officials any longer. And the polls actually reflect that.
Yeah. And she. I mean, Nicole Sapphire for the longest time would come on and pay homage to Anthony Fauci and give them their respect. That was not the Dr. Nicole Sapphire that joined us yesterday. She was like, F them. I'm done with it.
And that's exactly the sentiment among many people. I went to the gym yesterday and
No mask.
The mask was, I had it up around my ears, but it was down below my mouth the whole time.
Mine was off. First day ever. Walked into New York Sports Club, not going to lie to you, walked past the front desk on the second floor, was wearing my mask, went downstairs to the basement. I had a chest day, which is hard on me, and I took the mask off, and nobody said a word to me. Nobody. Nobody. And there was about, I'd say, 15 guys in the gym.
We're past it. We're over it. It's done. We have achieved basically herd immunity when you combine the people who are vaccinated with the people who had the virus already and have natural antibody immunity. Combine the two, we have herd immunity. And plus, everybody, if you're not vaccinated, you have to wear a mask, they say, right? Well, look, if you're vaccinated, don't worry about anybody who does or doesn't wear a mask. And if you're not vaccinated, well, that's your decision.
It's on you.
Right?
Right. Don't bitch and
that's
complain
it.
If you
it's
get sick.
It's a free
sick.
Country. That's your it. Body, you know, what your choice, whatever. My body, my choice, et cetera, et cetera.
Bernie is fully vaccinated. I get my second shot of Pfizer at Maimonides Hospital in Brooklyn next week, and then I'll be fully vaccinated. This was a banner day yesterday at WABC. It is worth mentioning. We've got all kinds of audio from all kinds of big events, starting with the former President Donald Trump, who was on this station at 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon on John Catsimatidis' show with Rita Cosby. And I must say, even though I wanted Trump on our show, and I still want Trump on our show, Rita did a really, really good job. Really good job. They touched on everything. We've got the audio for you. And then our fearless leader, our friend, before our owner and our boss, our friend, John Catsimatidis, on with Maria Bartiromo yesterday morning on Fox Business. And the big one last night, talking about pipelines and ransoms and terrorism, John Catsimatidis with a banner appearance on Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, who knows better than Mr. Catsimatidis? If people don't know, he's an oil energy executive, big time.
Oh, yeah. He's a mogul.
So he knows all. And plus, it was Mr. Catsimatidis who, I believe it was 2 days ago, broke the news 24 hours before the mainstream media broke it.
8 hours. He gave it to us. And we really broke it, but he gave it to us.
Well, yeah, yes. Yeah. But the fact that they paid the $5 million in ransom, I mean, he knew that.
Yes, he did.
He knew that 2 mornings ago. That figure and the fact that they did pay the ransom. Remember yesterday I kept asking, why aren't these news organizations reporting that they paid the ransom? Nobody was reporting it. Mr. Catsimatidis knew it 2 days ago,
right?
Early in the morning, and they did pay it. They paid it with cryptocurrency.
Yes,
they paid it like within hours, from what I understand. And it's taken all this time to get the pipeline still.
Yeah, I think Monday it'll be fully operating. They wanted $100 million initially, because I saw John, I rewatched the interview with Maria Bartiromo. They wanted $100 million initially. Then they called back and said, give us $40 million. At the end of the day, they got $4.5 million.
Right, right. And by the way, one big thing about the masks, everybody is forgetting. The masks are we can take them off because of the vaccine, because of former President Trump. So Biden didn't thank him yesterday. I'll say it right now. Let's say it all at the same time.
Thank you,
Donald Trump.
All right. We got a big show coming up today.
That sounds so good.
Doesn't that sound good? Lydia Reports, of course, but Monica Crowley and Red Carpet Rendezvous, Lauren Conlon, and the man trying to beat our guy, Curtis Sliwa, Fernando Mateo, is going to stop by today. We started with a feel-good story yesterday that for the first time in 7 years, the Knicks are back in the NBA playoffs. And by the way, the Knicks are right there for the 4 seed. What that means, folks, is home games at Madison Square Garden. They came back from Mike Breen, a 17-point deficit last night, came back and beat San Antonio. So they remain a half game behind the Hawks for that coveted 4 spot in the East. That was the feel-good story yesterday. Now we have one today that's nothing to do with basketball, the NBA, or sports. Everything to do with a lady that me and Bernie not big fans of. And a lot of reasons why, and that is John Legend's wife, who has come under scrutiny.
Well,
under fire.
Let's face it. Let's call it as we see it. She's a racist.
Yeah.
That's why we don't like her. We don't like racism either way. From either side, we do not like racism. And that's what we're fighting against in this country, I think. That's the critical race theory. That's racist. We're finding it from people like Michelle Obama, from people like Chrissy Teigen, who was encouraging people to kill themselves, young girls, to kill themselves. And
one girl in particular, Courtney Stodden.
And I'm not going to I don't even know Courtney Stodden's complexion. I don't even know. I mean, we could maybe look into it, but maybe the New York Times will do it and the Washington Post. They like to do this identity politics. I don't even know what is it. Is she black or white? Can we draw any inferences from this?
Well,
I don't know.
You may be able to when you listen to the audio from a person that we really like who happens to be black and is not a racist, and that is, of course, Candace Owens.
Yes. Well, by the way, this Chrissy Teigen, this wasn't the only time, and Candace Owens pointed this out all day on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah.
She started doing it back when she said it about Sarah Palin. She said, slit your wrists. She said it to another girl, slit your wrists. She said it to this girl here, and that's why Candace Owens was all over her.
She was, and it was an Instagram video a couple days ago that caught our attention where Candace Owens called out Chrissy Teigen. If you don't like Chrissy Teigen, and there are a lot of reasons why you shouldn't, then you got to really love Candace Owens today because she delivered some whoop-ass on Chrissy Teigen 2 days ago on Instagram, and it sounded like this.
Chrissy Teigen, who is, in my opinion, one of the most deranged people on the web, okay? And I don't know why the media, because she's, you know, married to John Legend, has tried to make it seem like, oh my God, her mental derangement is funny, it's cute, it's like, oh, she's just saying what she wants to say. Like, she should have been canceled a very long time ago by canceling standards, right? The idea that she has sponsorships and is making money from these corporations that claim to be woke and to care about all of these different groups of people and to care about mental health and awareness, allowing her to be a spokesperson for any of their products is ridiculous, right? She has said disgusting things to me in the past, disgusting things to other black conservatives, has harassed Trump supporters for 4 years, and yet somehow claims that Trump in and of himself is the person that she needs to fight.
Well, congratulations to Target, because Chrissy Teigen has a huge line of cookware, which she does very well with, and she sells a ton of it on Target's website, and Target has now removed all of Chrissy Teigen's cookware from their store. So congratulations to Target for taking a stance, and the right one.
Right, exactly. Well, in this case, canceling somebody who deserves to be canceled. You want to start canceling people? We can. It works both ways. You don't have free reign. You don't have immunity to do things, to be a racist, to call for teenage girls to kill themselves because of whatever status, victim status you think you have, which you don't have. You're a millionaire. It's all these millionaire people who are claiming to be victims, and they go after the real underprivileged people like that 16-year-old girl. So, yeah, good for Target. Maybe there is a God in heaven. Maybe things are turning around. Down in Loudoun County, Virginia, also, they are fighting back big time against critical race theory. We'll get to that a little bit later. This is great, great audio from that. You talk about explosive. So the fight is on. I mean, maybe things are being turned around. It started here in New York with that guy, Andrew Gutman, and another guy, another dad who moved to Florida, took his kid out, moved to Florida.
Oh, by the way, somebody reached out to me yesterday and said, if you want Andrew Gutman next week, I can get him for you. So if you want Gutman to come on, that was
great.
Not?
Yeah. Why the hell not?
Yeah.
And look, they had the stupid mayoral debate last night. It was a complete dud.
I watched.
It was what a
snoozer.
Oh, gee. It was awful. Did they ask any relevant questions?
Well, they did. We'll get into it. That was New York 1. It was Lara and that racist Errol Lewis who actually moderated that last night. And it was lackluster, which is the word the Post used, to say the least. We'll get to all of it. Plus, the horse that won the Kentucky Derby, is he running tomorrow in the Preakness? We'll let you know. Billy Idol classic, Eyes Without a Face, 6:51 on your gorgeous Friday morning. Corey Zelnick, longtime season ticket holder in New York Knicks, dear friend of me and Bernard, reminding me, and you'll be happy to hear this too, Bernard, I did mention the Knicks and the playoffs and that comeback win over San Antonio last night, blah, 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 and a dear friend of really Bernie more than me, although he and I are also very, very close, the announcer for the Knicks, and of course, the voice of the NBA, Mike Breen, will be inducted into the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame tomorrow.
That is one hell of an honor.
Tomorrow, yeah. Induction day for your boy, Breen.
God bless. Mike Breen, wow. He's a great guy. He deserves it, of course, the premier voice in the NBA. He hosts the finals on ABC. He's the guy. He's the man. He's the number one guy. He does all the best games.
Yep.
You know, whatever games are the most important, he's the guy that does. And he's such a nice, humble, unaffected guy.
Sweetheart. He yells at me all the time. Not all the time. I shouldn't say that.
He doesn't like curse words.
He doesn't like curse words. He doesn't like – there's a lot of things he doesn't like. He's a God-bearing man. Talking about that, I got a really lovely text from Ed Randall, talking baseball here Sundays on WABC, who reached out to me to thank me and you for the kind words you've said about him on this show, and he's got a job here now. And he invited me once again to come see him today. Every Friday at noon, he reads from the lectern at St. Patrick's Cathedral. I've got to see him once or twice. So Eddie's like, hey, see if you can come by today. So Mike Breen and Ed Randall, saying hello to both of you guys. Now, back to that debate last night. Here's what I look for, and I did watch a lot of it. It doesn't matter to me what Eric Adams says, because he is winning. Even Andrew Yang. When I watch these debates, Bernie, I look for one of the other six In other words, Catherine Garcia right now has got some steam. She was endorsed by the New York Times 2 days ago. There was a column yesterday that she's starting to gain some momentum. So I look for somebody from the other six to step up and give me reason to believe this is not just a two-man race. And I saw none of that last night. None of it.
Zippo. I did learn some things. Eric Adams, he clashed with the racist lady, the candidate. What's her name?
Maya Wiley.
Yeah.
That was good.
The Maya Wiley.
She went
lady.
After him all night.
Right.
Because, and by the way, she's black. She can do that.
Because, well, she's a black racist, but she really is. She said some things like AOC in the past and Tlaib and these people. She's of that ilk, if you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
Probably hates the state of Israel, stuff like that. She's you know, in other words, a radical. So for critical race theory, that type of thing. So she falls into that category. But anyway, Eric Adams is not only for refunding the police and things like that. He's also for bringing back stop and frisk. And that's what she was in particular went after him for.
I didn't know that either. Now, I knew he also wanted to bring back that tactical group. The tactical group that the
anti-crime unit. He just
right.
What he and the way he played it off last night, which I like, and he has to do because he's catering to a certain constituency. He wants to bring it back by another name, but he does recognize the fact that we need it. And I don't care what you want to call it. You need that anti-crime unit, undercover cops targeting places where crime is high. It was working. And now, of course, we see we're reaping the results of not having it. And, of course, a million other things, demonizing the cops and all that stuff. And the lack of stop and frisk, guns on the street, shootings everywhere, all over the place. By the way, that four-year-old girl who was shot in Times Square, she was her mother spoke out yesterday. She's from in Brooklyn. She's from Gravesend.
Is that funny?
That's right.
Gravesend.
What's her name? Something Martinez. Skylar Martinez.
Did she mention
like
William DeMeo?
She did not. No. In fact, she didn't speak at all. But the poor thing had, she had her arm had all kinds of bandages and this and that and the other. And the mutt who was apprehended down in Florida after he ran out of gas, of all things, which is hilarious. Hey, Joe Biden helped catch a thug down in Florida. Anyway, he ran out of gas, got apprehended. He's still in Florida, but they're going to bring him up here.
Yeah. Son of a bitch.
Talking about Florida, the guy that we love, you and I, their Governor Ron DeSantis, back in the news yesterday. I love this, too. Everything he does, I love. I think I'm in love with the man. And I'm as heterosexual as they come, but I think I'd have sex with Ron DeSantis. He said yesterday that if you were got in trouble legally with something you did in the whole COVID nonsense, he's going to pardon you. I love that.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. Hey, he says and does all the right things. If not for Donald Trump, he would be the presumptive nominee right now. It depends what Trump says or does.
I got to hand it to Bernie.
He may run with Trump says he's going to restart the rallies next month,
that.
Too.
I saw that.
That sounds so
he
good.
Was great with Rita Cosby yesterday. I mean, again, if you folks didn't hear it, he said everything I wanted to hear. Everything. I mean, it was just great.
Yeah,
and he talked about almost everything.
Listen to it at WABCRadio.com, ladies and gentlemen. It was fantastic. What was it, the full hour? I was sleeping.
I think he was on in the end for like 40 minutes. It was a long interview. They covered everything. And at some point this morning, before Brian Kilmeade takes over at 10, we'll have some of that. Rita Cosby with Donald Trump.
Just look at the gas. Look at your gas prices. I mean, on that basis alone, we miss Donald Trump.
Oh, there's a lot more than that. But
I know,
right.
But I'm just saying for one thing that affects just about everybody.
Nice?
Every person. In fact, it does affect everybody.
I wonder, as we talk to the Mr. Traffic himself, talking about Mike Breen, Hall of Fame. Here's our Hall of Fame traffic guy, Joe Nolan. Are we seeing cars like stopping on the side of the road, running out of gas? On the LIE or the
you know,
Vanwick.
I haven't seen any of that.
On FDR! On across Bronx!
Getting stuck in traffic!
People getting stuck in traffic!
There was one gas line in Queens.
Really?
2 days ago, but that's about
that was
the,
it.
The
yeah.
only effect I've seen in the tri-state area.
One thing about Andrew Yang, I have to say, I see his commercial. He's running for mayor, and he can actually dance. I know it sounds crazy, but they show him dancing a couple of times in Queens with the Asian community and some other folks. But at the very end of the commercial, he's in Coney Island. John Catsimatidis, I know you're listening. He's in Coney Island, and the commercial ends with him, and I'm going to assume that's his wife, on the Cyclone. and the roller coaster is moving up. His hair is blowing in the wind. His face is all distorted. And he's like, I'm Andrew Yang running for mayor. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy, really? I will bet you. And Andrew, you're welcome to come on and correct me if I'm wrong. He has never, ever been on the Cyclone before that commercial. I mean, some of these guys in their effort to act as if they are, right? I'm Brooklyn. I'm New York. I'm the mayor. I will bet you that Andrew Yang never had a hot dog at Nathan's before he started running for mayor. I'll bet you that.
Bro, he grew up in Summers, New York.
Thank you.
Not far from AOC. Summers, New York.
So he didn't spend any time in Coney Island.
Affluent Westchester County. And he's a fraud. He's a total fraud. Just like AOC, this New York crap. Get out of here.
Yep, we got the 7 o'clock hour coming up next. Hey, Yang, call in. Coward. So you guys may have noticed, maybe you haven't, but I'm on social media quite a bit. We have our own Instagram page, Bernie and Me. At It's Bernie and Sid. And, of course, my page, at Sid Rosenberg, I'm on all the time. Same thing with Twitter, at Bernie and Sid on Twitter, at Sid Rosenberg on Twitter. And both me and Bernie have our own Facebook pages. And put up a couple of new pictures the last couple of days. Two solo, one with Bernard yesterday, getting a lot of play. But I did one on over to Matt Meany's Instagram page yesterday. And Meany, of course, is the executive producer slash board op slash all-around Girl Friday for this show. He does a great job. He really does. Works his ass off here in the middle of the night and stays throughout the day. And he's like a nice-looking kid. He's like an angelic-looking kid. His parents are wonderful people. Mean Jerry, his mother, is a great lady. And then I go to his Instagram page, and it's like every single picture, he's standing among people that I swear, and it doesn't matter if they're a man or a woman, looks like they just got home from Rikers.
Those are the people I roll with, yo.
Well, why?
That was because, I don't know, they're just, you know, colorful people, you know. Literally, I love people who have, you know, just attitudes that, I don't know, that are entertaining.
Okay.
And that they don't, those girls you saw in those pictures, they'll let you hear it, I tell you.
Oh, they look dangerous, those girls.
Yeah, they are. They'll come for you. Better watch out.
Oh, my God, Meany, what's the matter
just
with you?
Just trying to have a good time.
No,
out
I understand.
There.
No, yeah. No, it's all good. It's all, hey, talking
beautiful,
about having,
beautiful.
Talking about having a good time, how about Joe Biden yesterday, Bernard, hanging out with, talking about Ben Affleck. We'll talk about Affleck and Jennifer Lopez with Lauren Conlon later. But Ben Affleck's ex-wife, who I like very much, Jennifer Garner, was hanging out with the first lady yesterday.
Really?
And no masks.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
I guess Joe and Jill Biden are listening to the CDC, I guess.
Well, I'll be damned. It's about time, right? I'm sure they don't wear the masks when the cameras are not around. Anyway, look, but he made the announcement yesterday, and the news was bad. We talked about it earlier. The timing, of course, is weird. There's no new science whatsoever. It's all time to really, in my opinion, to distract from his horrendous first 100 days, gas lines, inflation, the numbers that came out. The border is really, 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 really bad down there. It's a good thing he didn't appoint some, you know, bimbo to oversee it, but it's still out of control. I don't know what's going on. It's a terrible, terrible thing. But and then the pipeline thing, Biden, he had that. He came out, supposedly good news. We paid a ransom, but he didn't sound too, you know, he didn't sound too in charge, Joe Biden, when he was announcing that the pipeline was up and running. Take a listen.
But I want to be clear, we'll not feel the effects at the pump immediately. This is not like flicking on a light switch. This pipeline is 5,500 miles long. It had never been fully shut down its entire history. And so fully, and we have to, now they have to safely and fully return to normal operations. And it's going to take some time. And there may be some hiccups, like I just had, along the way here.
That's funny, man. That's funny. Listen, the poor guy, screw him. The hell with him. He's ruining the country. I have no sympathy for him whatsoever.
Well, you know, Bill O'Reilly said to us yesterday, a lot of folks felt badly early on for Biden. And they thought maybe this guy is in the middle of dementia. Maybe he's sick. And O'Reilly said yesterday, I'm starting to think he's just an idiot.
And O'Reilly's right. By the way, I happened to catch Bill O'Reilly.
Give me a little break.
His 9 o'clock show. He opened up talking about us and congratulating us. Yeah,
on the new contracts.
Yep, and also that you know that he had that discussion about the leaders of the state and city that they are idiots.
Right,
and he mentioned that he talked to us
great.
About it.
We'll do it live.
Well,
we should thank us. We sold 1,000 of his books yesterday, Killing the Mob. So
this critical race theory thing, it's really, really, it's all bubbled up in the past 6 to 8 months or whatever. We've maybe it's because of the pandemic and parents at home. Learning about it, who knows what it is, but that's why these people, it's a racist policy is what it is. It stigmatizes white people, all white kids, no matter if they did anything or not, and they didn't. It's kindergarten kids, first grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, they've done nothing wrong, and yet they're called racist by their teachers, and they push these books by racist people like Ibram Kendi, whose real name is Harry Rogers or something like that. They make the teachers read it, everybody else. And so Tom Cotton has actually introduced a bill that says that we're going to cut any tax subsidies to universities that teach this crap. So somebody asked Psaki about that yesterday, and this is what she said.
Without much detail of where he thinks our youth are being indoctrinated, it sounds very mysterious and dangerous. Although I don't think we believe that educating the youth and next and leaders of the future leaders of the country on systemic racism is indoctrination. That's actually responsible.
She says so. The brainwashing is actually responsible. This is who we have. They're in favor of this critical race theory, which also teaches black kids that you can't make it in this society. That you're not capable of making it in this society. I don't know what's more racist than that. It's really, really bad. Down in Loudoun County, Virginia, they're fighting back in a big way. But listen to this one really, really well-fed teacher with a mask on. This is this week. They're at a school board meeting, and this is what she's talking about, To Kill a Mockingbird. She's all in favor. They were having a debate on critical race theory, and this is what this, like I said, she likes to eat. Listen to this.
It's funny how they are so afraid of their children seeing another view of sexuality, gender, or religion. If you want to talk about books that are assigned, let's read To Kill a Mockingbird together. If you aren't willing to consider the racial trauma this assigned book causes black children with its white saviorism, then you have no business discussing any books.
So To Kill a Mockingbird is all about white saviorism. And I know you named your son after Atticus. His middle name is Atticus. So you're part of the problem.
I guess I am.
I just want you to know that.
But last I checked, Atticus Finch in that book put his life on the line defending a black person.
No, he was also questioning a rape victim. So he ran afoul of the Me Too movement rules because he questioned a rape victim.
Oh.
Remember that in the movie, in the book?
I remember it well.
Listen.
I also remember Jeff Daniels snugging me. Now, what's the word I'm looking for?
Snubbing.
Sip me. He sipped me. What's her name?
Joan Hamburg's event.
Joan Hamburg's event. Thank you.
So before we get off track, this black parent, this female black parent down in the same school board meeting in Loudoun County, Virginia. Now, this is a black lady. This is a woman she's against this critical race theory. Listen to this.
CRT is not an honest dialogue. It is a tactic that was used by Hitler and the Ku Klux Klan on slavery very many years ago to dumb down my ancestors so we could not think for ourselves. CRT is racist. It is abusive. It discriminates against one's color. Let me educate you. An honest dialogue does not oppress. An honest dialogue does not implement hatred or injustice. It's to communicate without deceiving people. Today, we don't need your agreement. We want action and a backbone for what we asked for today, to ban CRT. I had to come down here today to tell you to your face that we are coming together and we are strong. This will not be the last. Greet and meet respectfully.
Yeah. I mean, that's a black parent. She realizes that it's racist, this critical race. And this is what these people like Maya Wiley and AOC and all these nuts are for. And that's what makes them racist, because they're for this racist policy. Bill de Blasio, Psaki, all these people, they're racist people for wanting this critical race theory. Just one last clip. Just believe it or not, they're teaching this to grammar school kids. You have a mother at this school board meeting reading from a textbook what these kids are learning in school. Listen to this.
Jasper wasn't even my boyfriend, just this dude I did some hacking with once in a while. He was pretty basic library systems, low security, not in my league at all, but he had a big And sometimes a girl just needs a big
Her top lip curled up. Wait a minute. Is that what's really going on? She did your homework and you ate her. Is that why you're crying?
It's okay. It's cool. This is what girls do at parties, I told myself and kept dancing with the boy. I couldn't see the alcohol making my waist wind faster. If this is inappropriate for me to read to you, this is inappropriate for our children.
How much did the billion-dollar porn industry contribute to LCPS? My question is now, are you going to use the whole language approach to coincide with this vile reading and teach pole dancing in PE?
No wonder China is kicking our ass in everything. Reading, writing, racism, and pornography is what they're not. Forget the reading and writing. Brainwashing, racism, and pornography they're teaching the kids. It's absolutely sickening.
By the way, if you've been vaccinated like Bernard has, and I get my second shot next week, if you go to Shake Shack, you get free fries. I don't know. I love Shake Shack. So
yeah, we actually have some audio of Bill de Blasio, the big slob stuffing his face with fries and
from Shake Shack
and Mickey D's.
Oh, Mickey D's
on the same the same topic. Maybe it was Shake Shack. Maybe it was. Yeah. He's stuffing his face with burgers and fries, and it's really speaking of sickening. But we have the audio for
that. Is my favorite.
Something
one
to look forward to.
We order quite often from the one by Columbia University, which is very close to my house, folks. On the my apartment, I should say. On the drive home today at 4 p.m., it's Lydia Serrani. She'll join us in about an hour. Lydia reports, and then at 5, it's the man, John Katzenmatidis. TDs. Again, big day yesterday. Maria Bartiromo, Tucker Carlson had Donald Trump with Rita Cosby on his show. That show was on at 5 o'clock every weekday afternoon. They've got the information you need from the newsmakers themselves. He covers it all and has his pulse on the big stories. Great guests. Get the truth today at 5 with Cats at Night. And it's only right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Our weekends here are just really kicking ass, let's be honest. And we wrap it up every weekend with Ramsey Mazda's Sundays with Sinatra. Expanded to 3 hours now every Sunday night from 6 to 9. Our guy Joe Piscopo, who was brilliant, I must say, Wednesday at Columbus Circle. He plays the best Sinatra songs combined with great stories and insight on the chairman of the board. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Ramsey Mazda's Sunday with Sinatra, featuring our great buddy Joe Piscopo. Piscopo, 6 to 9 this Sunday and every Sunday on Talk Radio 77 WABC. And I've been alerted, as we are every morning, by one of our most loyal and faithful listeners, Joe Salamino out of Queens, talking about Frank Sinatra, that on this day, 23 years ago, we lost old Blue Eyes. He died 23 years ago today.
Oh, wow. He lived longer than I think people expected.
Oh,
I mean, this guy partied like an animal.
An animal.
Smoking cigarettes, and he lived to 80-something.
Yeah, I saw him at the very end of his life at the Westbury Music Fair on Long Island, and he was drinking. It was bad because he actually forgot the words to a couple of his songs. I didn't care.
He was having a good time.
Right, and it was over. It was over.
Right.
But he did live longer. I mean, the life he led, the drinking, the smoking, the women. Just the greatest of all time, and will never, ever, ever be replaced. Ever.
No, he's the man. And speaking of being replaced, so we had Rob Astorino on earlier. He or Lee Zeldin will replace the smug thug Andrew Cuomo, who did a briefing yesterday. And man, he sounded like a complete and total psycho. He announced that they were going to add on the Metro North line in the Bronx. They're going to add stations to the trains coming into Grand Central. They bypass the Bronx, and he's going to add it. But in that briefing, he sounded like a lunatic. We don't have any of that, right? We do? Oh, listen to him sounding like a lunatic.
New Yorkers, oh, you're tough people. Yes. You're ambitious people. Yes. You're daring people. Yes. You're gutsy people. Yes. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. You can't make it here. You wouldn't have come here. Unless you were gutsy and daring and you believed in yourself. That is who we are in our essence. Just think how we made this place.
He's out of his mind, this guy.
That's funny. Not only that, he still continues the evil, the tyranny. He will not adhere to the new CDC rules with the masks. He's not going to allow us to take the masks off. But
you know why?
I got news for him. We're taking them off anyway.
Well, I have months ago. But really, when you think about why, it's even crazier We know, this is a fact, this isn't Bernie's opinion, Sid's opinion, we know that at least 15,000 elderly people died from his policies. They took his book off the shelves. They took his book off the shelves. And he said yesterday, we're not ready to do this yet in New York. And based on the amazing success we've had with this virus, we're not going to rush it. We are going to continue to do the things that we have done in the past to make sure that New Yorkers are safe. What? I mean, how delusional is this? This guy's crazy.
It takes quite a pair is what it takes.
It's unreal.
Strictly speaking, though, there is no new science that dictated or that precipitated this announcement of Biden's and this Rachel Walensky lady from the CDC. There is no new science. They just caved to pressure. And plus, the news cycle was very, very bad with inflation, the pipeline, the gas lines, all that. So, I mean, either way, it's all politics, and on Cuomo's part as well, it's politics. But speaking of the vaccine and masks and all that, again, we've basically reached herd immunity at this point between people who have had COVID and people who have been vaccinated. We've reached it. So that's the bottom line. And, if you're worried about people with the virus, then get vaccinated. And if you're not worried, well, then don't get vaccinated. I mean, to each his own. It's available for everybody. That's the bottom line. So Bill de Blasio is actually bribing people to get vaccinated with Shake Shack, fries, hamburgers, this and that. And he made a slob out of himself yesterday during the announcement. Listen to this.
Do you say free fries when you get vaccinated? I got vaccinated.
Listen to this.
You're saying I could get this? These delicious fries? Just think of this when you think of vaccination. Vaccination.
You hear him chewing. It's gross.
He can't get out of here.
Big Bird doesn't have a clue.
And meanwhile, just people are getting shot left and right. He thinks it's a joke.
He thinks
it's funny. I mean, there was a cop, a guy, by the way, a 28-year-old named Brian McGurn. By the way, I went by Brian McGurk for my whole life.
You still do. Your father still calls you Brian.
Yes, he calls me Brian. Anyway, this 28-year-old. So I can relate to people like this. He just got out of the hospital yesterday. He was shot. He was shot by a gang member who was out on no cash bail because of Governor Cuomo and State Senator Todd Kominsky.
That's life.
Cuomo and Kominsky got this cop shot.
That's life.
I mean, that's life. Yeah. But he thinks it's funny. Yeah, he's just chomping down fries. People are getting stabbed down in the subways. Bus drivers getting attacked all over the city by these creeps.
What's your sense of humor?
Senses of humor. There was a time in 2016 when John Kasich, remember he was up on Arthur Avenue stuffing his face?
Yeah, but he was eating pizza with a knife and a fork.
Well, but also when he was on Arthur Avenue stuffing his face and speaking at the same time.
Yes.
And shortly after that, they had a debate. And President Trump, he reminded him of it.
Look at Kasich. I don't think he knows what, did you see him? He has a news conference all the time when he's eating. I have seen a human being eat in such a disgusting fashion. I'm always telling my young son, Barron, and I always with my kids, all of them, I'd say, children, small little bites, small. This guy takes a pancake and he's shoving it in his mouth. It's disgusting.
I remember that. That was very funny.
Miss him yet?
That's good stuff, Donald Trump. And again, if you missed it yesterday, Donald Trump was on this station on John Catsimatidis' Cats at Night show. Rita Cosby did a tremendous job, I have to say. She really did a great job. Check that out at WABCradio.com, Rita Cosby and Donald Trump. Coming up, talking about WABC, the WABC clip of the day. Also, the Yankees took it on the chin last night. The Knicks continued to win, and Fernando Mateo, Curtis Sliwa's opponent, he's going to stop by in just a couple of minutes.
Yes, Joe Nolan with traffic, you with sports, but here is the clip of the day. It's Rita Cosby talking with the aforementioned Donald Trump about Liz Cheney being removed from the House GOP chair on Cats at Night, airing weeknights at 5 o'clock. Go to WABCradio.com to hear more of the interview.
So what would you say to Liz Cheney, who has really been just, very staunchly against you, really blasting you, and continues to make comments
about her. I mean, I don't care about her. She's a loser, and she's going to lose. In Wyoming, her state was a great state for me, one of my highest, maybe my highest. I won by a tremendous amount. She's down to 9% popularity. her approval rating is at around 9%. The people can't stand her. She's not a person with any personality. She's not a person with any vision other than, you know, let's have soldiers in every country everywhere in the world. And frankly, we have a lot of other things we can do with our money and with our lives.
By the way, he's going to start holding rallies again next month. Is Donald Trump
back here on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show on this beautiful sun-splashed Friday morning? 75 and sunny basically every day through Wednesday. Then we'll hit the 80s. So it looks like summer is here. Spring is here, though. These are nice days. 70s and sunny. A beautiful time to be in New York City. Things are opening up. Things are much better than they were a year ago, I'll tell you that. So Wednesday was a beautiful day, too. And I went to Columbus Circle, as you've heard a couple of times already, and met up with some great Italian-Americans, great folks, guys like Joe Piscopo, Arthur Idala. I know I'm going to leave some people out, I'm sorry. Bo Deedle. And one of the guys that was there was Curtis Sliwa. Curtis, of course, is running for mayor and is a longtime friend of me and Bernard and WABC co-worker. And in this very incestuous political business, just a couple of feet away from Curtis was Fernando Mateo.
Good. I like it. Yeah. I mean, where were the other mayoral candidates, by the way? I guess they're dead down with bias against Italian people.
I guess so.
Okay. Andrew Yang and Eric Adams, you're cool with discriminating against Italian people?
I guess they weren't there. But Curtis and Fernando were there. And Fernando was terrific. And, you know, Fernando has reached out to me and us a bunch. He's been on this show before. He's a good guy, and here he is making his second appearance on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. Mayoral candidate Fernando Mateo. Fernando, good morning. How are you, pal?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. So many times, my friend Elaine, who's your friend, really, and owns Café du Soleil on Broadway in the Upper West Side, and the great chef Robert Parchment, who listens to me and Bernie every day, a good friend of mine too. They've invited me to come have dinner with you at that restaurant, and I apologize I haven't done it, but I found out from you a couple of days ago that you've got your own restaurant in the Bronx. I never knew that.
Actually, the restaurant belongs to my wife. I'm the vice president of operations. I make sure that the place is running day to day. I look over the management and make sure that the food is amazing.
What is the name of the place again?
I don't want to give it free publicity, but it's called Zona de Cuba.
Okay. Well, you can say that. I can't. Well, listen, Fernando, I did say to you the other day, I said, it's a little uncomfortable for me and for Bernard because we both like you very much. And we both have touted all the great things you've done for this city, taxi cabs, specifically bodegas. You've done some terrific things. But, of course, you've got a long relationship with Curtis Sliwa. So I'm asking you. What should guys like me and Bernie do? We like you both. Now, we're a little from you with Curtis, but we like you both. So what should we do?
Well, you've got to go for the better of the two. I mean, different media outlets endorse different candidates, which I think is absurd. Because once you get endorsed by a newspaper outlet or by a media outlet, they're committed to writing good things about you. There's no wrong that you can do. There's nothing that you can say that they will object to. And that is, I think, I think that's wrong. The fact that Curtis worked at WABC or works at WABC, I don't really know, puts me at a disadvantage in that he gets all the privileges at that station. They watch out for him. Meantime, I'm the only real Republican in this race. And it's very difficult for me to get my message through at WABC. It's a shame because I really like Mr. Casamitidis, and his daughter, Andrea Casamitidis, endorsed me, the Manhattan GOP. So I really don't understand why I don't have the same airtime or the same
Fernando,
coverage that Curtis has.
You're on WABC right now. I mean,
I am.
This is not really the time to complain about not getting airtime on WABC. You're on right now. You're giving your side of the story. I mean, you have this opportunity. You should take it.
I am, and you know what? I am the best of the two candidates, only because for the last 30 years, I have done more for New York City than any candidate in both Republicans and Democrats. But you've got to look at this situation very closely. Curtis worked very hard to make sure that Donald Trump did not win in New York City. He worked very hard to take the seat away from Marty Golden, who was the only real Republican in the state Senate that watched out for New Yorkers. He campaigned against him hard and got his opponent elected. So, and he's never been a Republican. He's always been in the Reform Party or in other parties. Just last year, he enrolled in the Republican Party. And I ask why. Is it to destroy our party? Is it to try to create a situation where I don't get to the general elections and therefore we will lose again? Because he clearly knows that I'm the only Republican that stands a chance in the general elections because of the demographics of New York City and because of what I've done, starting with Rikers Island in 1989, 90, 91. I did Toys for Guns in 93. In 99, I organized the taxi industry, and in 2002, I organized the bodega owners, and I've been fighting for them for 30 years. No one has ever done what I've done. I've employed thousands of people in New York City. I know what it is to meet payroll. I know what it is to pay rent. I know what it is to be a victim of New York City agencies and government agencies. I will end all of that. I want small government. I want public safety. I worked with cops for 30 years defending victims in New York City, not criminals. And today, criminals are defended, not victims.
There's no doubt about that. And by the way, on this show, Fernando, you've now been on twice. Curtis has been on once, and may not be a bad idea to advertise like Curtis does do. But anyway, let's move away from that. One of the things you don't have to worry about with Curtis is how he feels about crime. He has put his own personal life on the line many, many, many times for decades with the Guardian Angels trying to keep New Yorkers safe. That is the biggest issue in New York right now. I live in the city, Fernando. I got to go from place to place. I can't take my son for ice cream without him being scared to death. What will you do if, in fact, you do win to ensure that crime in the city will go down significantly?
I put my life on the line every time a cab driver gets robbed, killed, assaulted. A bodega owner gets killed and assaulted. That's what we do. So Curtis is just basically, he has a not-for-profit. And for decades, he lied about what he was actually doing with the Guardian Angels, guys. Let's not be fooled about that. You know, I will make sure that we refund our police department, get thousands more cops on our streets, make sure that we see them, that they're visible, make sure that there's two police officers on every train station platform 24/7 all year around. I mean, crime is my thing. I know how to fight crime because I've defended victims and I've worked with PD, and I know what they need in order to do the job. I have the tools that they need to come in and actually get the job done. And believe me when I tell you, I am not and I have never been a complainer because I've never been in politics. This is a very humbling race. Humbling because I've never had to ask anyone for anything. And here we are every day asking people to make donations in order for us to meet our matching funds. I hope and I expect to reach my matching funds this week. And once I do, you will see me advertising. I'm in business. I can't spend what I don't have. But when I have it, I will spend it and I will spend it wisely. And I will be on WABC and I will be on your show because you know what? You two guys are amazing. I like you, I respect you, and you report it the way it is. Well, and that's what I like about both of you, Sid. You guys are on point with what you do.
Well, thank you very much, Fernando. I've admired you for years, by the way. I really have with the taxis and the bodegas. I've seen you do press conferences. And so let's move beyond Curtis Sliwa. You are a law and order guy. The paramount issue, of course, is law and order. But you're either going to face Andrew Yang, but I think probably it's going to be Eric Adams. Now, he's a former police officer himself, brass, actually. He's for refunding the police, bringing back stop and frisk, bringing back the anti-crime unit, believe it or not. So he's going to be a very appealing candidate. How can you overcome a Democrat like, say, Eric Adams in the event that you win the Republican primary?
Well, listen, Eric Adams is my friend. I've known him for 30 years. I've actually worked with him closely with him and the organization that he represented early on. But I am ready. I am training for a 15-round bout. And I believe and I am counting on New Yorkers. I'm counting on Democrats to actually win the general elections. There are 2.5 million Hispanic voters in New York City. I don't take them for granted. There are 2.5 million Hispanics in the city. And I believe that the turnover of their vote is what's going to get me into City Hall. Hispanics know what I have done for their communities, for our communities. Blacks have known what I've done for them as well. And I believe I'm the only candidate in a general election that stands a chance to beat Yang or beat Eric. Listen, Eric has no business experience. Eric has never met payroll, has never paid rent, has never paid workman's comp. Eric has never had business experience. Therefore, how's he going to run the largest business in the world, a business that has 300,000 employees? It's impossible. He's a law and order guy. He's a civil servant. His payroll came from taxpayer dollars. My money paid for his job, for his salary. So we need in New York not only a law and order guy, and I am that law and order guy. Cops love me because I've worked closely with them, and I've always defended them, and I will always do that. But Democrats have the habit of promising things and never delivering. How dumb can this city become by electing another Democrat?
Yeah, right.
We have seen 20 years of glory, years during Giuliani and Bloomberg. Why? And now we see what Bill de Blasio, a Democrat, has done to our city.
Yep.
We saw what David Dinkins, how high crime was during the David Dinkins era. He tried to do many good things, but crime just rises when Democrats are in office. Why would any New Yorker want another Democrat?
Listen, it's a great question, and you can
question.
Insert that with Governor, too, where guys like Zeldin and Astorino and Giuliani may run, too. Yes.
Listen, if we look at the past 10 years, guys, look at Elliot Spitzer. Look at Anthony Weiner. Look at Schneiderman. Look at Sheldon Silver.
Yeah,
look at Mario. Look at Andrew Cuomo right now. Look at what de Blasio has done. How much more of that punishment does New York City want?
It's a good question. Yeah, listen, Fernando, we got to run, but that was a very spirited, I got to give you that, very passionate appearance
this
morning.
Very good line of attack.
I love it.
Law and order plus a businessman.
Yes.
I like that.
Fernando, good
listen,
luck to you.
I have it all, guys.
Yeah.
Curtis lacks a lot. Eric Adams lacks a lot. Andrew Yang is. Basically doesn't know what he's talking about, promises 100,000 jobs and delivers 150 jobs. Come on, man.
Okay.
New York, let's wake up. Vote for me. I am the guy that will bring the city back, and I promise you that I will win. I need to get through the primaries. I need Republicans to open their eyes and see that Curtis is not a real Republican. He's a never-Trumper,
okay. And
he will never be a Republican. Please understand that.
All right, we got to go. Excellent job today. Thank you for hopping on, Fernando. Best of luck. We'll talk again real soon. Thank you so much.
See you at Zona de Cuba.
And I love you too.
See.
Yeah.
Fernando Mateo on the Bernie and Sid show.
That's
he
great.
Fired up.
Yes, he was. Hey.
I like that guy, but
I like him too. Politics gets rough, you know. People get upset. Weekday mornings. That was a great interview, I have to say myself. Here comes Labrosi. I really like that. That was good. I didn't hear any of it. I was in some meeting with Frank Morano, telling him how nice his hair looks today. Weekday mornings at 9:40, we'll play the Peerless Boilers Beat Bernie contest, play against the smartest man in New York City. That may be Fernando Mateo. I don't know. I thought it was Bernie, but who knows? It is Bernie. Your chance to win a $100 gift card and an exclusive WABC and Barry House coffee mug, all brought to you by Peerless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters. Go to PeerlessBoilers.com or PavilionTankless.com for a dealer, a friendly dealer near you. Thank you, Pete Morgan. Peerless Boilers, they are America's best built boilers. Just got a text from Fernando Mateo. He said, sorry, I'm chewing on my McMuffin. Said, love you, brother. So he had a good time. And that was a good interview, and that was good radio. Fernando Mateo versus Curtis Sliwa coming to a theater near you, June 22nd. We're only about 5 or 6 weeks away now.
Yeah, no, it's right around the corner. It's sneaking up on us fast. There's no. Is there a plan, or is there a broadcast somewhere? Another Republican debate, a Republican candidate debate between Mateo and Curtis?
Yes.
And where?
You and I.
Well, let's do it.
Well, it's already done.
What's the date?
Well, I haven't done it yet.
Okay, it's coming. Well, we're going to organize this. We got to get these two guys.
They both want to do it. Mateo told me Wednesday he wants to do it. Curtis is so funny. He's like, forget about Fernando. Let me just debate Eric. Because he's assuming he is a presumptive favorite. He's right. Going to win, and Eric is going to win. But, of course, we can't do that. But we're going to do it here. No, listen, Dominic Carter's great. Dave Patterson's great. The debates have been great. But the people have spoken. They want the debate here with Bernie and Sid.
Yeah, well, this will be a rough and tumble debate.
Someone's going to get beat up.
Right, right.
Yeah.
We'll do it street style because both of these guys are street guys.
Oh, they are street guys. It's going to get ugly. And we're going to encourage that. It ain't going to be
exactly.
No donuts. No,
we're not looking for civility.
No. We want
blood.
We're
trying to keep it, conversational and nice and polite.
We don't want that.
No.
I got news for you, folks. Maybe you haven't noticed lately, but this city's in big trouble.
Right.
Somebody's got to get their ass kicked.
Somebody has to. Somebody's going down.
What I'm saying.
And they should.
Yeah.
The stakes are very, very high.
What am I trying to tell you?
So somebody's got to go for somebody else's throat, jugular.
Right. I got a great idea.
What is that?
We could have a tag team match, and it'll be Curtis and Fernando versus each other, but they have to go and pick up a homeless person.
What?
And that'd be their tag team partner. That would be something to watch.
Well, we'll have all the details come out soon,
I promise.
We have
to organize this.
Yeah, it'll be on.
I'm dead serious.
No, so am I. We're going to do it sometime in May or early June, okay? It'll be Fernando versus Curtis.
You better do it in May or June because the primary is in the middle of June.
I know. It's June 22nd.
Is that what it is?
Six weeks away. I know. Right. Even last night, that terrible debate on New York won.
Oh, my God. What a boring Zoom meeting is what it was like.
Terrible. Give me Fernando. Give me Curtis all day. These guys, they don't even make fun of each other.
What good is that? They never talked about the cops getting shot.
Nothing.
Or they didn't talk about the anti-Asian violence.
Nothing.
Anything that would make them awkward or feel bad or inconvenient.
No.
Errol Lewis will not ask about.
Just free French fries at Shake Shack. That's a big deal. All right, we got a lot more good stuff coming your way. Monica Crowley, Lauren Conlon, Beat Bernie. Keep it right here. Bernie and Sid on a Friday. Certain days you just feel great. Today's one of those days for me and Bernard. First of all, it's Friday. Payday Friday. Second of all, the weather is gorgeous and will remain gorgeous for the week. Mid-70s, low 80s, breezy, sunny. I am literally 2 days away. Two more days in the park, which I'll do all weekend long. And I'll look like Patrick Ewing by Monday. I'm telling you right now. I'm getting there. My white linen shirt today.
You are there.
I'm close, right?
You are, I'm not going to...
I'm close.
I'm going to censor myself. Yes, you're close.
I'm close.
I'm not going to get into that type of thing.
No. So that we've got that going.
Because you can't, because they won't allow you.
They get mad, I know.
Yeah, they get mad.
They get mad.
Hey, what are they talking about?
And this was a banner day yesterday here at WABC, and we got to give our owner, boss, but as he said on Monday, most important friend, John Catsimatidis, a lot of credit on Fox Business with Maria Bartiromo early yesterday morning talking about the pipeline. He had that news. Now, he gave it to me and Bernie, so we sounded like we had it. We didn't have it. It was John. Had it 8 hours before anybody else. And then, as if that wasn't enough, about 13 hours later, he made a huge appearance. I mean huge. My phone was buzzing. Oh, my God, I just saw your guy on Tucker Carlson. There was John Catsimatidis last night explaining to Tucker about this terrorism problem. And really, forget about what's going on the ground or in the air. Cyber terrorism is a huge threat, which, Bernie, to your credit, you've been talking about for quite some time.
Absolutely. But Mr. Catsimatidis, he was great yesterday on the Tucker Show, and he talked about how we have a space force, we need a cyber force. And there's no money in this non-infrastructure bill for that. And you think Biden would have came out yesterday and said, hey, we need to include it. He should have said, by the way, I understand now the importance of pipelines.
Yeah.
And I'm announcing today that we're reopening the Keystone pipeline.
That would have been great.
He should have said that, but he didn't.
He didn't. You know, I was watching the Bartiromo thing again this morning. I've watched it twice. John also, he's got a great idea. He said what we should do is, because there's no money, like you said, in the infrastructure bill, which is only 6% infrastructure anyway, what we should do is have a place like West Point and send these folks to a place like West Point.
Yeah.
Have them learn about this. Let them serve in government for 5 years. That's what he said with Maria. It was brilliant. Why wouldn't we do something like
and
that?
And pay them because, as he pointed out last night, well, let's listen to some of what he said, but big tech is paying good bucks. We have to be able to pay these people in order to attract them. Among other things, he did say that, but he also responded to Tucker's question. Here, take a listen.
But we have to put a stop to it. We need better technicians. We have to start a university like we have West Point for the Army or Annapolis for the Navy, and be able to train our people, and they stay with us for 5 years in the government job, because we're losing trained people that are going off to, if our government is paying them $100,000 a year, $150,000 a year, Google or Facebook or Twitter is gobbling them up for $300,000 a year. So our companies are lacking the proper people to run the companies.
Well, very well said, Mr.
Katsimatidis.
Hey, by the way, speaking of these pipelines and the gas lines that they cause, and which is why Joe Biden came out yesterday, based on no new science, reversed himself on the masks. And also the teachers union head, the national teachers union head, Randy Weingarten, she flip-flopped as well. She said schools should be open in the fall because the pressure that we brought to bear, other people have brought to bear, she is flip-flopping on that, thank God. But if you're on a gas line, mm-hmm. right, you're on a gas line in one of these southern states, or if, God forbid, it comes to New York,
right.
and you have a Biden 2020 sticker on your bumper,
you get to move up?
You get your ass kicked off that line.
Oh, you get kicked off?
I'm the gas Nazi. No gas for you.
That's funny.
You got a Biden 2020. I'm sorry. You get off the line.
I love it. I love it.
And speaking of which, and all this crazy, Green New Deal stuff and the gas, like Senator Kennedy, the usually smart and very, very quotable Senator Kennedy,
funny.
He said this about that.
We could stop demonizing fossil fuels and understand that we cannot run the greatest economy in all of human history by putting fairy dust and unicorn urine in our cars.
That's exactly funny. Right. I mean, it's a fantasy right now. It's a long way off, and we can't get rid of stop building pipelines and shutting down nuclear plants, by the way, prematurely. That's what they're doing,
right.
If at all. Now, Joe Biden yesterday addressed this is the idiot, the imbecile in chief, talking about the potential that gas stations would gouge customers, price gouge a little bit. Listen to Biden stumble through this.
We relaxed rules for pipeline operators to provide flexibility for emergency personnel to help manually get portions of the pipeline up and running earlier this week. Over the weekend, we reviewed and worked with the company to get a portion of the pipeline system from North Carolina to Maryland to operate under manual control and deliver its existing inventory.
It's really bad. Really, really bad. I mean, Trump was he was feared, if not respected, for his successes overseas. This guy, nobody respects him. That's why they're testing him left and right in Israel, the hacking and China, all this stuff. Nobody respects this this buffoon. To that point, this Australian news anchor. Now, Australia recognizes this. Listen to what this is funny. This is the Australian news anchor opining on the Biden presidency. Listen to this.
And you mean to say this bloke Biden isn't cognitively delinquent? Have a listen to this. The president of the United States of America.
We have to do more than just build back better. We have to build back better. We're not going to seek escalation.
Putting Biden in this position of leading the world's democracies is elder abuse. His incoherence is not new, but it surely can't go on. There will have to be a presidential resignation shortly.
Ah.
Someone of significant note is going to have to tap this bloke on the shoulder and tell him he's got to go. The tragedy is the replacement is Kamala Harris.
That's the tragedy.
As big a disaster.
Boris.
Her own party didn't want her in the runoff for the Democratic nomination. She received 2% of the vote. If we don't think the free world is in a mess, we are bad students of the current international situation.
The point is, the eyes of the world are on us. And they know.
They're laughing
at us.
Yep.
I want to do quickly a shout out to Dimitri. I don't know if you met him. He works for Red Apple. I met him outside the building yesterday.
I know Dimitri. Yeah.
Dimitri was waiting for Mr. Katsimatidis yesterday. Degani Dimitri, a tough, tough, smart, smart guy, a Greek immigrant.
Yeah, good guy.
And yeah,
very good guy.
Really, really, and you know, they're smart. They know what's going on, our listeners. And Dimitri loves the Bernie and Sid show.
Up.
He loves the station, obviously. But anyway, guys like Dimitri, that's what we need in this country. More people. We need immigrants like Dimitri. So the Dimitri, it was nice to meet you, and I hope you're having a good day today.
Now, the second part of why this was a banner day yesterday, besides all that and John Catsimatidis on with Maria and Tucker, was former President Donald Trump, who Bernie just mentioned, on with Rita Cosby on John's show, Cats at Night. We'll throw two cuts at you. We recommend you go to WABCRadio.com. We urge you to go there to hear the whole interview. It's about 40 minutes long. It is great. Just one or two here. Here is President Trump talking to Rita Cosby just yesterday, right here on Liz Cheney being ousted.
So what would you say to Liz Cheney, who has really been just, you know, very staunchly against you, really blasting you, and continues to do so, and says you're not going to be near the White House, you know, if she has anything to do with it?
Well, look, she's been a loser. She got out by almost unanimous vote. I don't know if it's ever even happened before or something like that happened. I had virtually nothing to do with it except the party likes me. I have a very high approval rating in the party, the highest ever, actually higher than Ronald Reagan, which I'm very honored to have. But, you know, people see that what I did was right. We had the greatest economy in the world, the most jobs, 160 million jobs. We never had anything close to that. The lowest taxes, the best on regulations, the best on the military, the best on the vets. Look what we did with the vets. I mean, it was amazing.
One more. Bernie just mentioned the Israel conflict with Joe Biden, this administration coming up really, really, really weak. Here is former President Trump, who did a great job with Israel in the Middle East, on that.
Let me ask you, President Trump, Israel, real quick. What a stunning change. A year ago, there they were signing historic peace accords at the White House, the Abraham Accords, and now it looks like they are on the brink of war. Do you believe that President Biden's policies contributed to this? And what are your thoughts about some of the comments that have been coming also from people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and also Ilhan Omar? I don't know if you saw what she said. She basically said that Israel is committing terrorism. It's really stunning. What are your reactions to that?
Well, the comments are horrible, and it's been happening more and more with Democrats, and they're going to the other side. And incredibly, if you go back 10 or 15 years, Israel was so protected by Congress. And now Democrats in Congress are no longer protecting Israel.
All right. Once again, check out that whole interview in its entirety at WABCRadio.com.
And if you want to thank somebody for no more mask wearing, the mandate, the guidance that came down yesterday, Biden didn't do it yesterday. Joe Biden neglected to do it. Thank you, Donald Trump. Thank you.
Isn't that nice?
Yes, Donald J. Trump is the man to thank. Operation Warp Speed and his leadership. We miss Donald Trump in a big
There's
way.
No question. There's no question. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Rough night for the Yankees. The Knicks, what did they do last night? First, Lydia reports. All that coming your way right here on Bernie and Sid.
Cool cat looking for a kitty. Gonna look in every corner of the city.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
And this report is sponsored by LifeAct. One child dies every 5 days from choking. Your world, it can change just like that. And as a parent myself of little Julia, protect your entire family with this simple device. Go to LifeAct.net. Use code WABC for 10% off. That's LifeAct.net. As we speak, my daughter is heading off to her nursery school with a mask on after hearing the CDC guidance that if you're fully vaccinated, which my daughter is not, but I'm pretty sure that everybody, all the staff and teachers, they're all vaccinated because, I mean, the vaccine is available everywhere. Like de Blasio showed yesterday. I mean, what's to stop you from getting fully vaccinated? You can even get a free burger and fries. And I thought to myself, oh, thank God. Now she won't have to wear a mask anymore because we know kids are not vectors of this virus. We know they're more resilient against this virus, unlike the flu. But oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. Dr. Doom and Gloom Fauci once again reiterating on CNN this.
Yeah, the children do when they're out there playing with their friends and, in particularly in an indoor situation. They do. But, you know, one of the things that's also important that's happened most recently is the approval of vaccines for children 12 to 15 years old. And then we are also doing studies now in an age de-escalation from 12 to 9, 9 to 6, 6 to 2, and then 6 months to 2 years, so that we'll be able, hopefully by the end of the year, to be able to vaccinate children of any age.
Jake Tapper right there had asked him, do kids still need to wear a mask? And I couldn't believe my ears, my eyes. My eyes hurt to begin with whenever I watch CNN, but he actually said even when they're outdoors that kids have to continue wearing a mask. I thought they said that even if you're unvaccinated, the chance of you catching COVID is minuscule. I think they're confused. I don't even know what to believe anymore.
They're flip-flopping all over the place. The Biden and Walensky on this mask thing, again, at the risk of repetition, there was no science that that precipitated this announcement yesterday. Just 2 weeks ago, Walensky was saying that she wouldn't send her kids to camp without masks. She was just saying that yesterday. Now, it's okay to send your kid to camp and they could go outside and not wear a mask. All of a sudden, no science behind it whatsoever. I mean, the science was clear early on, but since between those positions 2 weeks ago and today, nothing has changed. And yet she said that. But Dr. Fauci did express a little different. Well, listen to this.
I'm not so sure we should be requiring children at all. We should be encouraging them. But you've got to be careful when you make a requirement of something. That usually gets you into a lot of pushback, understandable pushback.
He's talking about the required to get vaccinated. Kids should not be required. He's not so sure that kids should be required to have the vaccination. So, again, he's flip-flopping as well. I mean, he had previously said differently, and now I guess they're all caving to public pressure. You heard about the AFT, the American Federation of Teachers, Randy Weingarten. She completely flip-flops. Now she wants schools open, in-person learning, full open in-person learning in school next September. Again, no new science, just caving to the science and the public pressure.
But what's incredible is she's blaming Trump for the reason why schools were closed all this time. I couldn't believe it when she was actually said that with a straight face, that it was all former President Trump's fault for the schools being closed for this long. Listen, I spoke to a friend of mine who's a teacher, and he was telling me that what's going on with the DOE is outrageous. Listen to this, what he told me. He said that teachers, even if they're fully vaccinated here in New York, are still fighting not to go back to work, to still only do remote learning. However, those teachers that do coaching, they want to be able to come in and coach. And I said, oh, well, that's because it's outdoors. He says, no, even basketball coaches, even indoors, that's because you get paid over $50 an hour when you coach a sport. This is all about money. This is about laziness. This is about bad teachers. And he said, he goes, I would honestly say that about half of all teachers, they are lazy. They're scammers. And he's a teacher. And he said, and they are a disgrace and a poor example, because a lot of teachers like me want to help kids. We got into this profession for that reason, and we're not trying to use what's happening, a pandemic, to game the system. But that's exactly what's still going on. And I said, how could it possibly be? He said, it's still going on.
Weingarten actually said that part of the reason why she caved, flip-flopped, essentially, on reopening schools was that teachers were being demonized. Teachers were being unfairly, as she said, unfairly demonized, that they are not the problem. Well, they are the problem. They weren't speaking up loud enough to get these schools reopened. Actually, let's listen to what she said.
Conditions have changed. We can and we must reopen schools in the fall for in-person teaching, learning, and support. And we must keep them open fully and safely. 5 days a week.
I feel dizzy right now.
Well, that's the thing. They've all gone back and forth so many times. And at the risk of sounding like we're patting ourselves on the back, let me just do it. We've been really consistent from day one. And if everybody would just listen to you and I, we'd be fine.
And right.
We've been right.
Yeah, they've all come around to our position.
Right. Now, I had an argument with somebody yesterday who said, well, hold on a second, Sid. Before you start telling everybody how great you are, blah, blah, blah. You know, things change. And when they were calling for these masks and school closings, they were right. You know, and back then it was too dangerous.
No, they weren't.
I said, no, they weren't.
Nope.
No, they weren't.
Even the New York Times called out I read the quote yesterday, called out the CDC on saying that outdoor transmission is less than 10%. Yeah, it is less than
10%. 0.01%.
Exactly right. Exactly. Yeah. It was like saying again that it's less. Shark attacks are less than 50,000 a year.
It's like 10.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. But what about the Yankees this week? There were 8 COVID infections with the Yankees. Gleyber Torres is out. How could the virus be gone if there are 8 Yankee infections? Oh God, who cares? They're all fine.
And they took the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Yeah, that's right. They took the wrong one.
They did. And Bill Maher, too. Bill Maher also.
Lydia, that was a great report, as always. So thank you so much
this
Friday. Thank you.
I have a question, too. Are the parades still canceled now that we know that the CDC guidance,
What parade exactly?
Wasn't it the Veterans Day parade? I thought he approved the marijuana.
Memorial Day parade.
No, the next one.
Memorial Day parade.
It would be, all right. That would be the next one. Memorial.
Well, I know the Albanian Day parade got. That's how I know, because the Albanian Day Parade, it's a huge parade actually in Midtown, and they were not approved their permit citing COVID.
I don't know about Memorial Day yet, because there was an argument last week. How could you have a cannabis parade and not a Memorial Day parade? That was still an argument last week, so I don't think they've changed their stance on that just yet, but who knows? Every day things change.
And as I mentioned, they're going to have that Memorial Day parade regardless. To hell with them. But the gay pride parade is coming up in June.
That'll be here.
So that's that's going to be a big deal, a big test.
Break out your pumps now, Bernie.
Yeah, let's do it. That's my big weekend, gay pride weekend.
Bernie's got long legs, and you got some nice muscular legs.
Not really. I don't do enough legs. Mine are tan.
No, but if you wear the high heels, it'll look really good.
Okay, good. Then I'll do that. Let me a pair of underwear.
Yes, wear the high heels. Let's ask our audience. Do they want to see Sid wearing pumps? I'm telling you.
No, please.
Yeah, I can spare the audience and just say, answer for them. No.
No, thanks.
No.
Okay, this report again is sponsored by LifeHack. One child dies every 5 days from choking. Your world, it can change just like that. And as a parent myself, little Julia, only 4 years old, protect your entire family with this device. They've already saved over 127 lives. LifeHack.net. Use code WABC for 10% off. LifeHack.net.
Great job, Lydia. You can catch Lydia every weekday afternoon at 4 o'clock. She sits alongside John Catsimatidis at 5. Follow Lydia on Instagram at LydiaNews1, on Twitter at LydiaNews. I got your update on the Yankees and the Knicks coming up, and Monica Crowley, very entertaining. She's coming up next. But first, Bernie, there's some business to do.
Yes, you're coming back with sports, right?
Yes.
So Sports with Sid coming up, Joe Nolan with traffic, and now it's time for the 77 WABC Clip of the Day. Rita Cosby talking with Donald Trump about Liz Cheney being removed from the House GOP chair. This was on Cats at Night, which airs weeknights at 5 o'clock. You can go to WABCradio.com to hear more of the interview, but check this out.
So what would you say to Liz Cheney, who has really been just, very staunchly against you, really blasting you, and continues to make comments
about her. I mean, I don't care about her. She's a loser, and she's going to lose. You know, in Wyoming, her state was a great state for me, one of my highest, maybe my highest. I won by a tremendous amount. She's down to 9% popularity. Her approval rating is at around 9%. The people can't stand her. She's not a person with any personality. She's not a person with any vision other than, let's have soldiers in every country everywhere in the world. And frankly, we have a lot of other things we can do with our money and with our lives.
She's a bitter news, fake news, useful idiot is what Liz Cheney is. Go to WABCradio.com to hear more of the interview. And
still lots more to come on this Friday morning at 9:40. We'll play Pete Morgan, Peerless Boilers. Pete Bernie, your chance at a $100 gift card and a WABC Barry House coffee mug. That comes your way at 9:40. 9:25, we'll have our weekly conversation with the host of Red Carpet Rendezvous, and that is Lauren Conlon. A lot going on out there. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez, for starters. Real Housewives of New Jersey wrapped up their season Wednesday. And Ebony K. Williams, who I spoke to yesterday, She's kicking butt on Real Housewives of New York, which is now two episodes in. So lots to talk about with Lauren Conlon. Now, we do have a friend here on the line. She was in studio with me and Bernie for 2 hours last Friday. She was also in with John Catsimatidis last week. And this week, she has been doing a tremendous job. Not good, tremendous. Filling in for Charlie Kirk. 12 to 1 every day. Right after our guy Brian Kilmeade, and right before Greg Kelly. So here she is, back with us on this Friday. It is our good friend, our very good friend, Monica Crowley. Good morning, Monica.
Hello, Monica.
Hi, good morning, guys. And Sid, thank you so much for that very effusive praise. That was amazing. You want to join me at noon today so you can continue and go on?
Right, you have another day coming up at noon today. Well, tell us this. You know, you talked about it last week. Long before I was here, you were here, and you were hosting here on WABC Radio, and you remarked a couple of times last week with me and Bernard how excited you were to be back. But last week, you were basically a guest, if not a fill-in host, with me, Bernie, and John. This week, hosting alone on WABC. How cool has that been?
It has been absolutely amazing. And, yeah, I went to Washington for a couple of years, worked for President Trump, Secretary Mnuchin. So I had been away from the radio microphone for a couple of years. And getting back behind that mic and just hosting a great show for the people of the tri-state area and the country and, frankly, the world, because you can stream it anywhere in the world at WABCRadio.com. It's been extraordinary, and I kind of feel like a duck to water that you just put me in and off I swim.
Yeah, well, quack, quack. You sound great, Monica Crowley. Listen, Monica, yesterday, I hate to call him this, but I will, the imbecile in chief, he flip-flopped on these masks. There was no science behind this announcement yesterday that wasn't already there, say, 2, 3, 4 weeks ago. Anyway, the question is this on the mask. First of all, he didn't thank Donald Trump. Second of all, the timing of the announcement, a lot of people think maybe to distract from the horrendous first 100 days, the recent news about gas lines, inflation, the crisis at the border, all that stuff. What do you think about the announcement yesterday?
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about this at noon as well, Bernie. But, it calls to mind, there was a movie made about this, but it calls to mind the Clinton era as well, Wag the Dog. So it seems to me that because none of the science has changed, I mean, there was nothing different. They made this announcement at 2:08 p.m. Eastern time yesterday. There was no different science at 2:08 than it was at 2:07. So they made this announcement, and you just have to think that it's got to be political. There has to be political motivation around it. And it seems like the Biden White House has taken a look at some of the poll numbers, especially on COVID, and have seen that with all of the vaccinations, you know, well over 100 million Americans have now been fully vaccinated. The economy is opening up again. People are over it. They're over the COVID panic. They have been vaccinated. They feel a lot safer. They're looking at the numbers and seeing that well over 99.9% of people who contract this survive. And they're done with it, and they want to get on with their lives. So they must have seen that polling data and realized this is not going well.
Right.
Meanwhile, there are so many other things not going well, like the Middle East is aflame, inflation, gas lines, crisis at the border. And they're realizing we need to change the conversation. So let's play Happy Days Are Here Again on COVID and try to distract everybody from everything else that's going on.
Yep. Monica Crowley filling in again this afternoon, noon to one for Charlie Kirk. Let's stick with that theme for a second, Monica, which is no science. Very funny the way you put it. Nothing changed between 2:07 and 2:08 that would make you believe that Biden had this epiphany that we're okay now. On the flip side, same exact thing applies for Andrew Cuomo. There is no science that says we can't take off our masks. Yet he said again yesterday, slow down. We're not there yet here in New York. So while Biden, there's no science to say, let's take the mask off. Same thing with Andrew Cuomo. Neither side has science.
Yeah, it's all political. And that leads a lot of people to think, Well, the virus was very real and very deadly. And thank God for President Trump and Operation Warp Speed that got these vaccines developed and distributed and in everybody's arms in record time. You got to think that so much else of this was political. That's what's getting people thinking in a different direction, that, you know, they're not making these decisions based on any real kind of science. And the Democrats are like, we're the party of science, but they're not operating on any kind of rational scientific basis on this stuff. And people have had enough. People are now operating in common sense. You know, if you've not been vaccinated, take whatever precautions you deem appropriate. If you have been vaccinated, you're liberated. But this whole announcement yesterday felt less like a liberation and more of a, where have you been? Because rational common sense people have been doing this now for months, right?
Yeah.
So I think the acute phase of this is over. And, you know, politicians like Governor Cuomo, he's in a world of pain. He's got a couple of investigations targeted at him. And what'll be interesting, guys, is to see if Mayor de Blasio, who hates Governor Cuomo's guts and vice versa, if just because Cuomo said that, I wonder if de Blasio will take the opposite tack.
Yeah, he usually does. That'll be interesting to see. Monica Crowley, she's on today for Charlie Kirk from 12 to 1 o'clock. Monica Crowley on the Bernie and Sid Show. Monica, I played a clip this morning of this Australian anchor, and the point of it was to show that the eyes of the world are on what's happening here in the United States with this Biden administration, which is so inept, so incompetent, so many crises under this guy. He was speculating that what they're doing to Biden is elder abuse, and you mentioned the Middle East. The Russians hacking the pipeline, China. I mean, what Biden can't handle this. He's obviously impaired. But it seems to me, it seems to a lot of people, that he's being tested, that the United States is now being tested by these actions over the overseas in the Middle East, as I mentioned, the Russians with the pipeline. Of course, China slapping around Secretary of State Blinken in Alaska last month. What do you think of that?
You know, guys, remember the original Jurassic Park movie? There was a scene early on when some of the smaller flying dinosaurs would fly up onto the fence of the park that they were building. They'd fly up onto the fence and they'd just start to peck it. And they would peck, peck, peck at the fence. You know what those dinosaurs were doing? Testing. They were probing. They were probing the defenses to see, could they get away with flying in? Could they get away with an attack? And that's exactly what you're seeing now. You're seeing the dinosaurs of the world, hackers, state actors. You see the Chinese emboldened. You see the Russians emboldened. The Biden administration wants to get back into the Iran nuclear deal. So now Iran is emboldened. They feel like they have the upper hand. You've got terrorist groups that are still out there, Al-Qaeda, ISIS. You see what Hamas is now doing in Israel. So all of these things are a direct result of a weak American president.
Yep.
You know, when President Trump was in there, he was so strong, like Reagan, like Nixon. All they need to do is be. All they need to do is be present in the presidency. And our enemies, sometimes they did strike. I'm not saying there were never any testing under these presidents or attacks, but they always thought twice, because they knew a strong American president would retaliate.
Right.
But when you've got a Jimmy Carter, or you've got a Barack Obama, or you've got a Joe Biden, it's like a global free-for-all, and people's lives are at stake.
Well, this is why she's great. She went with Wag the Dog. She went with Jurassic Park, which was a great reference. You know, I appreciate that stuff a lot. What can we expect this afternoon as you close out the week again in fine fashion, filling in for Charlie Kirk? What will Monica Crowley be talking about, and who will she be talking to today?
Well, we're going to talk about what we just discussed about the CDC guidelines and how they're constantly changing like a mood ring. And we may talk about, Mayor de Blasio actually said something yesterday I agreed with. How's that for a tease?
Wow, that's interesting. That's a good tease. Monica Crowley teasing Bernie and Sid on the Bernie and Sid Show. Monica, thank you. We'll look forward to you at noon today on 77 WABC.
Guys, I always appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Great job. Monica Crowley, 12 to 1. Once again, right after Brian Kilmeade and right before our good buddy Greg Kelly, right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Don Henley, Boys of Summer, as we wrap up the 8 a.m. hour on this epic Friday show. Monica Crowley was great, so was Fernando Mateo. We brought you everything you want on this show, everything. Local politics, national politics, news, entertainment, sports. Talking about sports, had the chance a couple of days ago to talk to one of my all-time favorite New York baseball players, if not my favorite, Bernie too, the great Dwight Gooden. You know him as Doc. I call him Dwight. Either way, he was a great pitcher for the Mets. Some thought for many years, maybe the second best ever behind Tom Seaver. He may be third now behind Jacob DeGrom, we have to see. But they went on to play for the New York Yankees. Much like Darryl Strawberry, George Steinbrenner gave those guys a chance with the Yanks after they had some personal issues. And both of those guys, Gooden and Strawberry, really had a good time in the Bronx. They won world championships. And Dwight Gooden, all those great days with the Mets, all those great, phenomenal days. His second season, maybe the best season I've ever seen for a pitcher. He was that good. Never, never pitched a no-hitter. In fact, the Mets never had one for the longest time until Johan Santana, which is funny because Carlos Beltran doubled that day, but they called it foul. Anyway, never pitched a no-hitter in Queens, Bernie. Went to the Yankees. And 25 years ago on this day, 25 years ago today, it sounded like this. Michael Kay on the call of the Yes Network, our good friend Doc Gooden, pitching a no-hitter in the Bronx against the Seattle Mariners 25 years ago today.
God bless him. I love Dwight Gooden. I hope he's doing well. Is he?
Yeah, he's doing well. Yeah, he's doing very
okay,
well.
Okay, good.
Yes,
I met him actually at that Staten Island affair with Teddy Atlas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he was extremely, extremely nice. Look, another sports-related type of thing. It's actually page 3 of the New York Post this morning, believe it or not. The New York Jets quarterback, Zach Wilson, his mom's, she got a lot of attention because, well, for whatever reason.
Well, she's gorgeous, whatever reason.
All right, there you go.
She's a 13 on a 1 to 10.
And she got a lot of attention because of that. But apparently, she's not happy about all the attention she got.
Oh,
she
please.
Recently went to Disney, I believe it's Disneyland down in Florida, right?
No, it's Disney World.
Disney World. I should know that. I spent, my wife and kids spent half their lives down there. Anyway. She went there recently with her family and was not happy. Take a listen.
So we only made it about 4 hours today at Disney World because my family kind of hates amusement parks. First of all, it was harder than hell out there, like a whore in church. And
what?
Disney,
what?
You're kind of assholes. I'm not going to lie. It was up in our business. So
what?
She reminds me so much of Sarah Palin. I can't even tell you. Yeah, that was it was hotter than a whore in church.
How about
says
that?
Zach Wilson's mom. Look, I'm rooting for the Jets. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, he's a great-looking kid, too.
He's a nice young man. He's a very nice young man.
Went to BYU, second pick overall. Carton on the Fan got in trouble last week because he interviewed Zach Wilson from the Jets, and he spent the whole interview literally talking about his mother. And he was taken to task by some members of the New York media, and he said, I don't care. And the fact is, his mother's pretty, and she's the real story. Kid hasn't thrown a pass yet in the NFL. Let's talk about his mom's. So I don't know if I really believe the mother that she's not having a good time here. She's getting a lot of attention. So we'll see. If her kid is great, it's going to be great for both of them. If he stinks, then it's going to become very embarrassing for his mother.
Well, speaking of getting a lot of attention, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. It turns out that a recent poll out in California shows that Caitlyn Jenner has only 6% of the support.
By the way, she looks nothing like Zach Wilson's mother.
I just try to keep it real.
Hey, babe. Hey, it's she is 71 years old. Hey, but it was tough watching her in high heels with Sean Hannity. I mean, listen, I'm just going to keep it real. There's something off about it. And then Jenner came out for full amnesty for immigrants and stuff. So after saying all the right things.
She failed. She fumbled.
She fumbled a little bit. But
are they still fighting now, Sean? It's lame at this point. I have to be honest. I love Sean. Sean's our guy. We don't like Jimmy Kimmel. But it's lame. It keeps happening. It's not new and exciting anymore. The Hannity-Kimmel fight. Is that still going on?
I really don't know.
He's got videos on Instagram and Twitter every day, Hannity, going back and forth with Jimmy Kimmel.
So I guess it is, then.
I guess. I don't know. We were interested the first time a couple of years ago, you and I.
No, just a couple of weeks ago. Hannity came.
He came back again, I know.
Came back in.
Yeah, the Karl Malone thing.
Oh, it was after the Caitlyn Jenner interview.
That was the precipice, I guess, the motivation behind it.
Yeah, I'm sure they're still feuding. I mean, all it takes is one reference.
Yeah, it's very immature.
From Kimmel to Hannity, and then Hannity will hit
very,
back.
Very immature. We're not like that, Bernie and I.
We don't do that. how's that Greg Kelly situation going?
I tell you what, I actually got a lot of messages, too, on the way you handled the last phone caller yesterday. That douchebag Bobby who tried to get me going and didn't work. Not even a little bit. Nice try, buddy. Hey, big 9 o'clock hour coming up. Beat Bernie and Lauren Conlon, plus more news of the day. Last hour of the week with Bernie and Sid is next.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, last hour, Friday morning. Beautiful day in May. Come on, folks, enjoy it. Go to WABCRadio.com now and register for your chance to win a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Barry House Coffee, that's B-A-R-R-I-E. Barry House Coffee is proud to be the official coffee of Bernie and Sid in the Morning on 77 WABC. Register now. And good luck.
Doc Gooden just sent me a text thanking Bernie and I for playing the cut of him, no-hitter for the Yanks. Dominic Carter, that's my guy. I love Dominic. Set me up with Wendy Williams. I'll be on that show next week for sure, 100%. Wendy Williams next week. Dominic Carter is back on 77 WABC every night at midnight. He's here to talk to you. He's got the Chronicles of Dominic Carter. Keep track of what's going on inside City Hall. That's the guy to listen to, not Errol Lewis. Dominic Carter, that's the guy. Compelling conversation and guests. Dominic Carter from midnight to one weeknights here on ABC.
How you doing?
Hey, Wendy, how are you?
I'm all right.
One thing about this Israel thing, I got to get this out off my chest.
Let's talk about it. It's a big deal.
Just end it. At the risk of sounding insensitive, and I know that there are folks on the other side that feel strongly about it, I'm tired of it. So you read something late in yesterday's show.
That's right.
Where Bibi Netanyahu said in 24 hours, if you're not out of the Gaza Strip, then I can't guarantee you're going to get out ever. And I want to see that happen.
Well, to be precise, he didn't say get out of the Gaza Strip. He said stop sending the missiles into our cities.
Oh, I thought he actually told him to leave.
No. He said if you don't stop, I'm giving you one last chance. If you don't stop this right now, we're coming in.
Yeah.
And when we come in, no mercy. And this time, we're not leaving. Well, they've done it before. They've gone in. And they've taken out, artillery batteries, rocket sites, whatever.
They need to do it now.
And then they left.
I want them to go in today. This is what I really want. Go in today and just take everybody out.
I think it's going to happen because they've been sending artillery. They've amassed artillery at the border. Troops have been amassed. It's going to happen. I believe it's going to happen today.
Let's do it.
It could be happening as we speak.
Let's do it. They didn't pay.
They're going to do it, and Hamas is going to be able. They're going to run Gaza just like, sort of like they run the West Bank.
Who is?
Israel.
Well, good. That's what I'm saying.
That's what they used to do. And then
they kill everybody, and let's go.
Right. Then they gave them the opportunity. They said, okay, you can do what you have autonomy. You can elect whatever government you want. Go ahead and do it. Have elections. And they voted in Hamas.
I know that. Right.
And so now, this time he says, this time we're coming in. And if you force us to come in, this time we're not leaving.
Okay, good.
So that could happen. Look. On another note, this poisonous stuff that's happening out there, this critical race theory, I know it makes your hair hurt just listening to hear about it, but it's an important issue. It's very, very important. It's poison. It's what transforms otherwise, nice young girls into overfed, blue-haired, white girls out in the street spitting in the faces of cops, this teaching stuff like this, garbage like this. It's flat out racism is what it is, this critical race theory. And Senator Tom Cotton, he's introduced legislation to stop teaching racism in our schools. It's from K through 12 is where it is. He wants to actually tax the endowments of elite universities that teach this crap and put it towards vocational training. I mean, that's what I've been saying for a long time. These people come out of these colleges with no practical skills for the most part, unless they take a STEM major. But for the most part, kids don't take STEM majors. They do it in China. And Psaki says, by the way, that this is a responsible thing, this critical race theory. Believe it or not, this is where the Biden administration is. That's why we're in trouble. But there's been a lot of pushback, not only from Tom Cotton, but from a lot of parents. We've seen it here. Andrew Gutman in New York, this parent of a, he sent his kid to an elite school. They were teaching this, it's this flat out racist garbage in school. And now in Loudoun County, Virginia, very, very, one of the wealthiest counties in the nation, they're teaching this stuff. They had a school board meeting, and one of the teachers, speaking of overfed people, this lady, she's got a mask on, and she's sitting there like Humpty Dumpty, and she actually attacks some of the literature that they've been teaching the kids over the years. In this case, it was To Kill a Mockingbird. Just listen to this moron.
It's funny how they are so afraid of their children seeing another view of sexuality, gender, or religion. If you want to talk about books that are assigned, let's read To Kill a Mockingbird together. If you aren't willing to consider the racial trauma this assigned book causes black children with its white saviorism, then you have no business discussing any books.
But she's white, by the way. Her name is Amy Weisskopf.
Whoever she is, that's a personal attack at me, because as you mentioned earlier, Bernard, you're right. My only son, Gabriel, has four names, Gabriel Rosenberg. He's also got two middle names, Martin, named after Danielle's grandfather, and Atticus, because of favorite book is, in fact, To Kill a Mockingbird. She's a big-time attorney. And Atticus Finch did the best he can to keep a black man out of prison. Does she know that? That's what that story is about? This lady, this fat lady you're talking about?
Probably not. Probably not. And yeah. By the way, Atticus Finch went afoul of the Me Too rules. He he cross-examined a rape victim. How dare you?
in
the movie. And so Atticus Finch was canceled once or before, and now they're trying to cancel him again. So anyway, at the same school board meeting, a black parent came up and refuted all this critical race theory garbage that this teacher, this Amy Weisskopf, and others were pushing on the school board, saying we have to keep it. This black female parent, she says, no, you don't. Listen to her.
CRT is not an honest dialogue. It is a tactic that was used by Hitler and the Ku Klux Klan on slavery very many years ago to dumb down my ancestors so we could not think for ourselves. CRT is racist. It is abusive. It discriminates against one's color. Let me educate you. An honest dialogue does not oppress. An honest dialogue does not implement hatred or injustice. It's to communicate without deceiving people. Today, we don't need your agreement. We want action and a backbone for what we asked for today, to ban CRT. I had to come down here today to tell you to your face that we are coming together and we are strong. This will not be the last. Greet and meet, respectfully.
Yeah, you hear people in the background cheering. I mean, God bless her. Listen, this is what we have to do, folks. It's dangerous, serious stuff. They want to brainwash an entire generation. Just one more, this a parent, and this is a white parent. You heard this guy before screaming at the school board when he was telling the school to reopen. Remember when he said, figure it out? This is the same guy. Now he's actually reading from some of the assigned text that his kids were getting in school. He's reading from the assigned text, and they didn't like it. Take a listen.
I'm going to read an excerpt from a freshman honors English class in Stonebridge. She's a hoe, just like her sister. Every dude on the courts. It's time for LCPS to get their acts in their house in order. The curtain has been pulled back, and people can now see the deficient leadership that's been in this county. My five-year-old is being peddled transgender books in her library. Teenagers are being served pornography under the guise of young adult literature. Do something! Be a leader! Because if you know what? The citizens of this county deserve better. And if you're not willing to do it...
Can you please cover your nose with your mouth?
You're all vaccinated. What the freak? Give me 10 seconds back. Give me 10 seconds back.
There, you know the rules. Thank you.
So they cut his mic off, and they told him to put his mask above his nose, and you're done, sir. Sorry.
You know, I'm looking at people walking on Third Avenue right now on this gorgeous sunny day, and it's a lot better than it was, because not that long ago, I would say 90% of these people were wearing masks outside. Now I would say one of every two, and I have this urge. It's terrible to like tackle people who are wearing masks in the street. And now we got the news, of course, from the CDC, you don't have to wear a mask inside if you're vaccinated, which I basically am, you are. But I really get this, it's like a visceral, I get so angry because I don't understand why people want to continue to make us look like a sick society. When you're wearing a mask outside on a sunny day, you're making us look like a sick society. Why do you want that? Why?
I think that's going to subside oh so slowly, but it is subsiding. He made the announcement yesterday, the imbecile in chief.
Yeah, but your governor said no. We're not ready yet.
So it's going
to
happen.
Listen to that moron.
Let me just say, I want you to reserve some of this passion that you have for people wearing masks.
Right.
I want you to go to your son Gabe's school board and do what that father just did.
Oh, I'll do it.
And take these people out.
I already have taken them to task on a variety of things.
I want to hear it. I want you on audio. I want you to be played on Tucker's show tonight.
Done. I don't think they were happy that I was at that Columbus Day thing on Wednesday.
Who was?
The people at my son's school. Who call it Indigenous People Day. They don't even give it the Italian-American heritage.
I mean, did they
just Indigenous people.
Any indication that they were displeased with
the
presence?
I'm assuming, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But I have not been to a meeting.
I want you to go to a school board meeting
and
be videotaped like that guy and like that female black parent right there.
Okay.
Come on, man.
Done.
They're brainwashing your kid.
Oh, I know all about it. Well, it's not working.
Let's get them.
It's not working. I'm making him go the other way, but I'm with you. I'm going to do that. I promise you.
Legs.
I'm going to go to these meetings. I'm going to stop beating up people.
Yes.
I used to go to these meetings in upstate. My parents live in this community. It's like all old Jewish people, you know, and they don't want lights. They do want lights. They want tennis courts. They don't want tennis courts. They want benches by the pool. And they would fight about these things. And it would get so crazy. There's this one old guy. He's long dead, God rest his soul. He'd pick up chairs. He'd throw it at the people up on stage. He was like 85 years old. They would get nuts over nonsense. I need to get like that over this because this is an important thing.
And on the mask thing, if people want to wear masks, they should be able to. It's a free country. I understand. I understand your sentiment, but
especially outside,
it works two ways. They can't force you to wear one, and now you can't force them to take theirs off if they don't. If they choose to wear it, let them wear it. I mean, it is stupid, but who cares?
You're right. All right. Still to come. Coming up next, in fact, Lauren Conlon, red carpet rendezvous. What's the latest with Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck? And then coming up in about 20 minutes, Beat Bernie. Very exciting. Keep it right.
Kamala Harris is the best-looking attorney general in the country.
This is the 77 WABC Entertainment Report, sponsored by Quote Cowboy. Now, here's Lauren Conlon.
Hey, Sid. So, you could be missing out on Medicare benefits. So, call 1-844-753-SAVE.
That was easy.
Yeah.
Lauren Conlon is here.
Hey, Bernie.
Every Friday.
Lauren.
She comes out with her podcast. It's a great entertainment podcast. Red Carpet Rendezvous every Wednesday. And there's been one story this week that has been the story. Mm. Turns out back in February, I guess, A-Rod started messing with this girl from Southern Charm. What is her name again?
Madison.
Yes, Madison.
Mm-hmm.
And about that same time, Ben Affleck started reaching out to Jennifer Lopez. Now, we found out a couple of weeks ago that this was platonic. There was no sex involved despite their history before. Now, this week, it's kind of gone to the next level. And even folks like Matt Damon are out there publicly supporting the return
of Ben. Isn't
that
funny? And now, I just want to preface with, I know there's a lot of things going on in the world right now, right? People are dying. Things are happening. But let's just take a break and talk about things that don't matter, like Bennifer, right? Let's just do that.
Yeah,
let's do it. Let's take a break. So this made me laugh so hard when A-Rod was approached to, you know, they said, hey, what do you think about Bennifer? And he said, go Yankees.
Now,
that is throwing so much shade. And you guys know why, right?
Oh, the big Red Sox fans.
Ben Affleck is the biggest Red Sox fan.
Well, Damon is. Him and Damon.
Yes,
together, right?
Totally.
Right.
But that was his way of being like, F you.
That's where I met
Ben
him,
Affleck.
I met Ben Affleck and Matt Damon at the All-Star game in Boston in 1999. So I met those guys.
Yeah,
so,
they're
big
great.
Red Sox
they're
fans,
great guys.
Yeah.
I like Ben Affleck. I know he has his issues, but we all have our issues.
He's a
right?
Jerk.
So it's okay. Well, why is he a jerk, Sidney?
He's a jerk. God.
Well, his ancestors owned about 160 slaves.
Well, let's start right there.
Let's start right there.
Wait, is that public knowledge?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes,
okay.
Plus what he did to Jennifer Garner and his stupid...
That too.
His flights with Tom Brady bragging about... he's just a complete jerk.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to fault him for what his ancestors did. That sucks, but I'm not going to fault him for that.
nor should you, but they did...
They're pretty bad people, right? but I don't think of him as being a super bad person. But I, the Bennifer thing made me laugh. I kind of was like, Jenny from the block, slow down.
Well, but not so, so, so the truth is that it's not platonic. Those two have, they dove right back where they were years ago, right?
They did. I mean, they went on vacation to Montana together. Oh. If that's not, if that's not diving back in, I don't know what
listen,
is.
Listen, I know A-Rod's going to be fine. He's no problem, but I understand he was a little upset about this. So if
course.
He was, then, you know, I like Ben Affleck today.
You know
just,
what
just,
it is
but,
to
just
me?
For this morning.
I think that's embarrassing. If that was me and my ex moved on that quickly, I would be extremely embarrassed.
Well, yeah, but she was humiliated by A-Rod, of course, as we started the segment with. So
right, and that's a good point. So I guess on all sides, it's embarrassing. However, come on, honey, it's A-Rod. You knew what you were getting into.
Of course,
so that's right.
A-Rod,
it's like,
please.
I mean, yeah, she's been around the
he's
block
another
too.
One. Right,
she
he's
knows.
Just like Ben Affleck. He's screwed every woman he's ever been with. Other big story. I talked about Wendy Williams moments ago. I'll make my debut on Wendy Williams next week, which is a great daytime talk show.
Yeah, but it's so entertaining.
That's great. She's the best, Wendy. But a big daytime talk show in the news this week.
Ooh,
and that
yeah.
is Ellen DeGeneres. Mm-hmm. She announced it's no longer a challenge. I didn't realize that hosting talk shows, whether it's Kelly Clarkson or Wendy, was about being challenged. I thought it was about having fun.
You know, it's I think it's a little bit of both. Well, that made me laugh because I was like, oh, really, Ellen? It's not challenging? No, girl. You're canceled. No one likes you anymore. You ruined it for yourself. So the challenge part, sure, interviewing Jessica Simpson when she's drunk on national TV, live television, sure, that could be a challenge, I guess. But, you know, I think, Ellen, it's challenging for you to build your reputation back.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember peak quarantine when Ellen was crying from her mansion saying, this feels like a prison.
Yes.
I feel like I'm in jail. And everybody's like, seriously?
You know what?
Like,
she's pathetic.
Bernie hates when she dances. He doesn't like it.
I can't stand it. But either way, she was on the Today Show yesterday. She's horrible.
I think she's horrible, too.
Cut
straight. And I'm very,
sit kind. Down on the couch and start the show. Please, I'm begging you. But anyway, she on the Today Show yesterday, she blamed the misogynistic press. And why not throw in homophobic while you're at it? I mean, all these cards that they throw around, you were just busted, stone cold busted. The Queen of Nice, just like Rosie O'Donnell, by the way.
Yeah.
She used to be the Queen of Nice. Turned out she's the most vitriolic, nasty woman.
The Queen of Mean.
And the same thing with Ellen, yeah.
Yeah, I found that to be surprising that Ellen could actually throw blame like that because it's true. You were outed, Ellen, as the meanest boss in the world. You are meaner than Ebenezer Scrooge, and that's that. And
meaner
now
than
everyone
Imus.
Knows.
Yeah, meaner than Imus. Actually, that was the quote in the paper. You're meaner than Imus.
Yeah.
Was that in the paper?
No, I'm kidding.
That's great.
Now, the last big story, we covered Bennifer. We covered Ellen DeGeneres. Again, catch Lauren Conlon, Red Carpet Rendezvous, every Wednesday.
Yes, every
Who do you have
Wednesday.
On this week, though?
So I have Holt McCallany.
Cool.
Oh, he is a sexy actor. Yeah, let me tell you guys.
Calm down.
He is 56
fine.
Years old. He looks amazing.
He's
Are
fine.
You kidding?
Okay, he looks guys. Amazing for that age, but he's not sexy.
Fine, Sid
he's
says.
Okay.
I like him. I loved him on the show, Mindhunter. He played Bill Tench. It's
he
on Netflix.
He was great.
He's incredible.
Yes.
And he's in the new Jason Statham movie, Wrath of Man.
Right,
so that's out now.
Yeah.
Holt is great.
Shut the front door.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
There you go,
what happened?
Yeah.
Hey, listen. Before we go, Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, yeah.
Is in the news. She's been, products have been taken out of Target.
Yeah, her cookware line.
Her cookware. Mm. Chrissy Teigen, she's the wife of John Legend.
Yeah, I mean, she's got a big mouth. She's got a big mouth that she needs to shut.
She's a racist.
She's a lot
racist.
Of things. I am a very nice person. I don't like to talk bad about anybody.
Just say it. She's a racist.
Yeah, well, I think she's a really nasty person. And she publicly tweeted at Courtney Sodden, the singer. She basically told her that she should kill herself.
What?
Said really horrible cyberbullying comments.
A 16-year-old?
I'm not sure exactly how old she is, but
yeah,
she's young. Yeah. But
how dare you?
Yeah. Well, I love these sound effects right now. I feel very special. But yeah. So Courtney's like, that's cool, Chrissy. I don't buy your apology. You're just trying to get your stuff back into Target. So
right.
I kind of agree with that. Her publicist was like, yeah, you got to apologize.
And she has a history of it. She's told other women to kill themselves.
She's nasty.
She told Sarah Palin to shoot herself in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a nasty, nasty person.
She suggested that Lady Gaga is not a woman. She fat shamed Mariah Carey when Mariah was pregnant, stuff like that.
I mean, it's terrible.
She's gross.
She's worse than Ellen.
She's not nice. I agree.
Last one, the Golden Globes.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess Tom Cruise gave his back.
You know, this is interesting to me because did you guys know that the Golden Globes paid NBC $60 million to air this?
Yes.
Okay. So the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, they've had time. Okay. It came out, you know, months ago when there was not one person of color. That's a member out of 87. They had time to make these changes, right?
They didn't
so
do it.
They haven't done anything.
And
so
also,
NBC,
you told me that Scarlett Johansson said that they were inappropriate with her.
Yes, she said all of the press conferences she does, they are so inappropriate. They ask misogynistic questions. They are, you know, borderline sexual harassment. And people just don't want to be associated with this anymore. And I don't know if you guys saw the Golden Globes. They were terrible this year. I mean, they looked very, very bootleg. So Tom Cruise giving his back, that's a publicity thing. He's not even relevant, I feel like. So that's just him being like, hey, remember me.
Newsflash. For all the talk that America is such a racist country and all that, those lies, the rest of the world, you ain't seen nothing in America if you go around the globe. Racism and misogynism and all the sexism and all that stuff.
Oh, it's 10 times worse.
Oh, no, you're right. In different countries, it's incredibly worse. I mean, I would...
They throw gays off the roof in these countries. Come on. Yeah. All right, well, you were great today.
Well, thank you
so
much.
Can't wait for Red Carpet Rendezvous. I've been watching my friend Ebony Williams on The Housewives of New York City.
No, I didn't get to watch this week.
Check it out. Well, it's 2 weeks now you're behind now. So.
Yeah, I'm not...
You didn't watch the finale of New Jersey?
I'm not sad about it. So, New Jersey I watch because of my friend D, but that's it. But no, New York I'm not sad about. Those ladies,
okay.
I
watched The Real Housewives of Atlanta exclusively.
That's it? Well, they're all black, so. Because you're woke.
No, because I'm like Robert De Niro.
That's right. Oh, actually, talking about that show, Portia is in big trouble on that show. She has some type of very, very controversial love affair. She used to be married to Cordell Stewart, the gay quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
The gay quarterback she was married to?
Well, allegedly. He was caught in Shenley Park in Pittsburgh with a man. That's the urban legend.
Oh, so he who's without sin cast the first
stone.
But go ahead.
Wait, with a man?
Yes.
Wait, when he
was a quarterback,
you did. Oh, no, you did.
Ooh, yeah. I like that, actually. I like him more.
Yeah, but supposedly Portia's got some relationship. She was on Wendy Williams, actually, a couple of days ago, that story. So, anyways, a lot going on at the Housewives.
Wait, so can I just ask, are you actually a Robert De Niro, Bernie? You actually, that's your thing?
No, it's lying.
Oh, okay. I was like,
whoa.
You're married to a white Irish chick. It's Gaiusha and the Shicks as it gets. Yeah, what? What, you married to Naomi Campbell?
Know me?
What?
I'm not married to an Irish girl. How long
have Italian, excuse me.
You know, you listen.
German, Polish?
We'll talk.
Okay, we'll talk. I need to know this about you. I didn't realize
I grew up
this.
In the hood.
Okay.
Will you stop?
Well, okay.
You got
see, I can't tell if he's messing with me or not. No, that's the thing. I'm like,
he grew up in the hood, and he's never had a black girlfriend. He didn't marry a black girl.
That's a total lie. You have no idea.
You've laid with them.
The fact is, the answer is,
I don't know how to say
the answer
it.
Is yes.
You guys, okay.
Yes, of course.
Okay, and are you saying that they are better?
I didn't say that. No, I didn't say that.
Oh, because your wife is listening right now.
I'm just saying I watch Real Housewives of Atlanta. Take it easy.
I'm going to get you in trouble right now. Okay, we're done. So, let me just tell you guys one more time. Quote, Cowboy, you could be missing out on Medicare benefits. So call 1-844-753-SAVE if you think you are missing out.
Thank you, Lauren. That was great. I need a contestant for Pete Bernie. That was very funny. Brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers, 1-800-848-WABC. That's how you play my partner, the smartest man in New York City, Bernard McGurk, 1-800-848-9222.
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Peerless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
All right, time to beat Bernie.
Or at least try.
What is that?
Or at least try to.
Right, try to beat Bernie. Bernie, you have to leave. Today's contestant is out of Union, New Jersey, and his name is Joe, and I've been told by John O'Halloran tomorrow is his birthday. So, Joe, happy birthday, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you, my friend.
Nice to have you.
Big fan of both you guys.
Thank you. We're big fans of yours, too. We're glad you listen. We're glad you're playing the game. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
At stake today, as always, a $100 gift card and a WABC Barry House coffee mug. So, Joe, I wish you the best, buddy.
Nice.
Here we go. You ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
Here's number one. Name any one of the three Midwest state capitals named for United States presidents. Any one of the three.
Of the Midwest, Lincoln.
That is correct. Lincoln, Nebraska. Very good. Number two, before he was president, George H.W. Bush served as United States ambassador to what New York City-based organization from 1971 through 1973?
What New York-based organization?
New York-based organization, yes. Herbert Walker Bush served there for 3 years. All right, you got to move on. The United Nations. The United Nations. Number three. There you go. The national emblem of the United States in 1782. What animal was removed from the list of threatened and endangered species back in 2007?
Bald eagle.
That's right. You're two out of three. You're playing well, Joe. Before taking
like
her
me, a bald eagle.
Yeah, like us too, me and Bernie. Before taking her seat in the Senate, Dianne Feinstein was mayor of what California city?
San Francisco.
Very good. Your chance to go four out of five. Put all the pressure on Bernard to get them all correct. Here it is. What was California's first state prison, which has housed the likes of Charles Manson, RFK assassin Sirhan Sirhan, as well as hosting live concerts by Johnny Cash and B.B. King?
It's got to be Alcatraz.
Wrong, you two-legged back of Anthony.
Incorrect. It's San Quentin. San Quentin is the prison.
San Quentin, that's what I meant to say.
Well, but you didn't say it, so you're screwed.
I know.
hold on. You got three right. You still may win here on the day before your birthday. Let's see if Bernard fares any better, okay, pal?
All right,
let's get Bernard out of the soundproof room where he's, well, only God knows what he's doing in there. And then he never comes back. Where does he go?
Have you ever seen our Instagram?
I know, I see him running. It's like Rocky every day.
Yeah. Coming in.
Bernard, you ready to go?
Yeah, ma'am.
You need four right to win today's game. Are you up to the task?
No doubt.
All right, here we go.
Let's go.
Calm down, tough guy. I got to make it exciting for the listeners.
What'd I do? What'd I say?
He said, let's go!
Let's go!
Name any one of the three Midwest state capitals named for United States presidents.
Jefferson City, Missouri.
Very good. You got Lincoln, Nebraska. Anybody else for the last one?
Well, I know.
Jackson, Mississippi.
Madison, Wisconsin. Is that right? Isn't he right about Jackson? No, Mississippi,
That's a southern state.
Yeah.
Whatever. Either way, it's named after a president, right?
Yeah, you got it right.
Unless it's Michael Jackson. What do I know?
Before he was president, George Herbert Walker Bush served as United States ambassador to what New York City-based organization from 1971 through 1973?
it was the U.N. And he also was the ambassador, by the way, to China for a long time.
China.
And he was the head of the CIA, George Herbert Walker Bush.
And he flew that airplane.
Well, yeah, he was the youngest pilot at the time during World War II, the youngest fighter pilot.
And all these things pale in comparison to the fact that he also, for what it's worth, gave me and Bernard a pair of green presidential cufflinks.
That's all
which
we care
I lost
about.
One in Atlanta at the Super Bowl.
That's
like
all
a
we care about.
That's all we care about. He loved us. The national emblem of the United States in 1782. What animal was removed from the list of threatened and endangered species back in 2007?
I would say, what's the question again?
There was an animal that is the national emblem for like 250 years.
Yeah.
And it was removed from the list of threatened and endangered species.
Oh, the eagle.
That's right. No.
The American eagle.
No.
Oh, bald eagle. Bald eagle.
Thumbs up. She says no. O'Halloran. He says no. No good. Two out of three. All right. You got to get the next two right to win.
That ain't right, man.
I know.
That ain't right.
By the people who love you getting screwed.
Tough crowd. I'm not sure that they love me.
Yeah, maybe
to be quite
honest
with you.
Before taking her seat in the Senate, Dianne Feinstein was mayor of what California city?
I'd have to go with San Francisco.
Right. So now you've guaranteed a tie, but if you get this right, you win.
Okay.
He did not get this right, the contestant today. Here we go. What was California's first state prison, which was housed, or should say, has housed, the likes of Charles Manson, RFK assassin Sirhan Sirhan, as well as hosting live concerts, which you were at, by Johnny Cash and B.B. King.
Well, it would have to be Folsom Prison, right?
Wow. Going your two-legged back of
oh, it's Alcatraz, right?
No!
What is it?
San Quentin.
Oh, San Quentin.
He said, so you play to a 3-3 tie. Nobody wins today.
That ain't right. Come on. Give me the eagle question, will you?
I guess
I would be the one then to
break the...
Now, listen, you screwed me last week on the...
I screwed you?
On the Warsaw Pact.
Oh, I did screw you on that.
Yeah, so
right.
You owe me one.
Bernie, you win today. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Real quick about the Folsom City Blue, one, that's where Johnny Cash served time.
Right. He did sing there also.
Oh, did he?
He sang there, too. You have to see the movie.
Maybe I got them all right today.
Maybe you did. What's his name was brilliant as Johnny Cash, the wacky guy, Phoenix. Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin.
And don't forget, Reese Witherspoon won the Academy Award for playing June Carter Cash. Anyway, Joe's birthday is tomorrow. He's today's contestant. Joe, say hello to Bernard.
Hello, Joe. Good job.
Hey, Bernie. How you doing? Bernie, you couldn't take a dive for me. It's my birthday tomorrow.
Oh, you know what? I
protest. You said American Eagle.
Oh, wait a second. Now, if I get the American Eagle, the bald eagle question wrong, does this guy win $100?
Yeah, it's his birthday tomorrow, so yeah.
You know what? Let him have it.
Oh, congratulations, Joe.
You're the man, Bernie.
I'll go with the jury.
How about that? $100 coming your way.
You're the man, Bernie.
I thought it meant a tie. But, Joe, you got the $100. And,
what are you going to do with the $100, Joe?
I'll figure something out. You know what I mean?
Hey, Joe, we could use you. There's a shortage of truckers, man. Come on back to work.
I haven't driven in a while. I ran companies, but I could still do it if I have to.
I could still do it. Well, thank you for playing today's game. You were great. Happy birthday. Enjoy the $100 and keep listening, okay, pal?
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you, Joe.
We'll close out today's show on the week the way we close it out every day. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Your chance to talk to Bernie and Sid is next.
Beat Bernie, sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
Little Boston for you as we get ready to wrap up another great week here on Bernie and Sid. Get ready for a gorgeous weekend. I guess, shout out to Abraham Hamra. He's probably driving in right now towards the office. So, Abraham, we'll see you shortly. We have the question of the day posted on our website, WABCRadio.com. Here is the question of the day, fresh off John Catsimatidis' two great performances yesterday, appearances, I should say, on Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business and Tucker Carlson, Fox News last night. Here is today's question. Do you think companies should pay ransoms to terrorist organizations? That's why, of course, the Colonial Pipeline is back in business. The options are yes or no. You know, it's not that easy with this one because there was no other way. There was no way we're going to get that pipeline back going, and we need it.
That's true, but it does incentivize them to do it again, to do it to maybe other operations of ours, sure, like our electrical grid, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. So you do have to answer that today,
yes or no. It is a tough one. It's the same thing with, dealing with people who hold hostages, terrorists who hold hostages.
Well, I always say we should be able to pay them because, I am still good friends, as you know, with Shirley Sotloff. On my Facebook page, her son, Stephen, was the second to be beheaded.
But then what that does,
she could have paid.
The argument goes that it encourages them to do more of that.
I know. It's tough.
It's a tough question.
Look, if God forbid it was one of our children, Kayla Mueller's parents begged Obama to pay.
Pay
them. Give them whatever they want. Here's Gene.
Get a
GoFundMe
page going.
Right. Line 6. Good morning, Gene.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey! Oh!
Ernie, I love you guys. I miss you so much. I left here in October from Staten Island, moved to Florida and Sarasota County.
Nice.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's nice.
I come back, I had to pick up some belongings. That's it.
Yeah. Well, Gene, thank you for listening. Thank you very much.
Congratulations, on your exodus.
Here's a Tom. He's in New York City. He's got an opinion on the mayoral race. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Sid. Good morning, Bernie. I'm glad you gave that thing to the $100 to the guy you handed it over, because when I played you, Bernie, on Alcatraz and The Rock, you didn't give it to me. But I'll put those things aside. No resentments.
Right. Sounds like you have
a little bit. A little bit.
Yeah.
I just wanted to comment on the situation. I heard you guys talking about with Fernando Ferrara.
Mateo.
And, right. Mateo, I'm saying Ferrara. I got Ferrara. I'm going way back.
The Bronx Borough.
That's right, baby. That's right. But as far as Fernando Mateo, you know, sounds like a good candidate and all, but as far as Eric Adams will be a disaster. His intentions are good, but he's just a hack, and he's part of the system. He's a social justice warrior. Let's not forget, he started an association called the 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement. Not that his intentions were bad, but he would be blocked. Every obstructionist in the city council will stop him.
Listen, Tom, he is not our first choice. We have two words for you. Curtis Sliwa. But if Curtis and or Fernando, they're on the right side of these policies, obviously. If they don't win and we have to pick somebody from the left, it is our contention, me and Bernie, that Eric Adams is the best of a very, very bad bunch.
Right, but this is another question. Do we want the best of the bad bunch, or do we want the worst of the bad bunch so that Curtis or Fernando can beat them? Because he would be quite electable in the city. Well, a former cop, because the inner city is...
But he's not going to lose a primary. Do you think like Catherine Garcia is going to beat him?
I mean, but shouldn't we want Catherine Garcia?
Of course, we want Sean Donovan. So, we want Ray McGuire. We want that racist Maya Wiley.
Exactly.
But it's not going to happen. Anyway, what is going to happen is we're going to go home for the weekend.
We out.
We done. We gave you a great week of shows, and we enjoyed every moment of it.
All of us free, here. Too.
Yes, it was free.
No charge.
Yes.
Free of charge.
That's right. Excellent job, everybody. Matt Meany, John O'Halloran, Deb Valentine, Bernie and I will be back, God willing, Monday morning at 6:30. The weather's going to be gorgeous this weekend, mid-70s and sunny. Take your mask off. Inside, too. Get vaccinated. Take your mask off.
It's over.
It's over. It's been over for 3 months. Don't listen to the lies anymore from Cuomo and the rest of these animals. We'll be back again Monday morning at 6:30. Until then,
animals.
From all of us to all of you, peace!